with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! What a Monday. Very, very busy Monday. Busy weekend. We are at present still in the planning stages and the packing stages and the carrying stages of what will be the most ambitious project the Horn has yet undertaken. I'm talking, of course, about Netroots Nation, beginning on Thursday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and running through Sunday morning. Thanks to you all and many others, I am one of the Democracy for America Netroots Nation scholars. And it is an inspiring and eclectic mix of folks from all across the country. Being, however, that I think I'm the only broadcaster doing that as such, we're going to be bringing you everything that Netroots Nation has to offer over a series of live streams. Every room will be wired and mic'd. Every panel will be brought to you. And there's going to be no small amount of tremendous coverage, among other things. Oh, let's see. Fresh from his success in North Korea, former President Bill Clinton will be there, among other things. There is probably the political showdown of the year thus far, of the coming political season, will take place there, as well as Senator Arlen Specter, D, corporate America, D, sorta, of Pennsylvania, debates and discusses the issues with Representative Joe Sestak. D, hope he wins. Hey, look, you know, I don't have time for, we're non-partner. No, I want somebody, and please, anybody who thinks Arlen Specter has a liberal bone in his body, needs his head thoroughly examined and RMA'd to the manufacturer for rewiring. I would like to see Joe Sestak win this. I've talked off the air, however, with a couple of people who know their Pennsylvania politics, who tell me that it'll be tough to get the Democratic machinery in place to support Joe Sestak. So those things are going to take place on Saturday. On Saturday at 10:30 a.m., there will be a panel on mountaintop removal, which I look forward to participating in. I'll be joined by Lorella Scarborough, American Book Award winner Jeff Biggers, and friend of the program, Stephanie Pistello from Appalachian Voices and the Alliance for Appalachia will also be there. This should be a tremendous panel, exposing, I hope, a lot of new folks to the issue of America's ongoing national shame, and that is mountaintop removal. So that's kind of where my focus has been, just to be completely fair. It has been a very busy Monday in and of itself, because no matter the fact that we are planning for all of this, real life as it is called, it continues unabated and does and waits for no person. Today was the beginning of football practice and cheerleading practice. So that means that Ferg was knocking on the bedroom door. Can you hear the yawn trying to get started? Yeah, sorry. At about 6 o'clock this morning, after I'd had about 3 hours of sleep. So I've kind of got toothpicks holding my eyelids open, just sort of, you know, this is one of those moments I'm glad we don't do video because I'm just not pretty right now. But today we had to go and get physicals because they are required. Had to go get physicals for Ferg and Doodle. And you learn a little bit when you do those kinds of things. I was just having a conversation with their physician, their physician's assistant. A good guy. But one with whom I do not share a political philosophy. And we were talking about some topic or another, and he said, well, you know, because my kids have chip coverage, for which I am very, very grateful. Glad that we at least have that much. And add that to the list of government health care that we don't want in America. You know, we focused on things like the VA and Medicare, but add in chip coverage. I heard horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner talking about that over the weekend, and I thought that I would just love to be a fly on the wall when he offers one of those wing nuts, that little affidavit to sign, giving up all government health care. And, you know, as I was listening, I remarked on this last night in the chat room. I don't know. You know, like so many other members of the horn, I've never met personally Rick Goodner, horn psychotherapist, author, bon vivant, man about town. But there were a couple of moments where he was doing his redneck voice, and it gave me pause to wonder, is Rick Goodner actually the voice of Hank Hill? Because there were a couple of moments when he was talking about the rednecks as he at the and the conservacreeps as he hands them their affidavit to sign. I don't want no government health care. And it sounded, that voice that Rick was doing, and maybe it's just because this is some sort of native voice that happens in Tejas. Maybe that's what it is, but it sounded like Hank Hill. I swear, go back and listen. And we're working on Rick's archive, and I've got to get that set up with Ben. Add it to the list! But Rick Goodner, are you the voice of Hank Hill? America wants to know. Because Rick sounded perilously close to Ben. And yeah, what a celebrity coup that would be for the horn. Wow. Nah, but I don't think so. I think Rick just knows, just as I do up here in the hills, Rick knows the tones and cadences of his own native land. But I do get a little jealous sometimes listening to Rick talk, and I feel like he's hoarding all those conserva creeps for himself and just needling them at his leisure. And I'm thinking, share a little, brother. But he was talking, and that got me thinking about the fact that, yeah, the CHIPS program's more of that government-run health care that we don't want around here. Because it is, isn't it? It absolutely is. And so, in the course of a conversation, our health care provider said, well, you know, they might be willing to pay for it now, but just a procedure. But they probably won't in a few months when they start rationing health care on the government program. My life. No, I did not cut loose with my very own Homer Simpson style. Don't! But I would be lying if I did not say that something. Just let it go, Bob. Let it go, Bob. Let it go, Bob. Rationing health care. Who's not rationing health care now? If you don't have any health insurance, and over a course of days, weeks, and months, you occasionally feel that odd stabbing pain up in the upper left quadrant of your chest with the occasional little tingling thingamajig that runs down your left arm, and you say, you know what, that's probably that spaghetti sauce bothered me. I got to be careful, more careful what I eat. And you don't go to the doctor, and you don't go to some sort of a care facility, and you don't get an EKG run or a stress test or any of that. And then one day they call the wife from work and say, ma'am, are you sitting down? We've got some really bad news. Your husband has been taken to the hospital. We think he had a heart attack. And you need to get there just as quick as you can and bring the children. It's not looking good. How was that man not already having health care rationed to him? When mommy takes her shower every morning and gingerly, nervously palpates the flesh in her breast until one day her fingers land on that thing and she doesn't have any health care coverage. How is health care not already being rationed to her? And what kind of sick and twisted, cruel ration is it that isn't just a little bit of health care, but absolutely none? Because I don't care what the right-wing sons of bitches say in this country. No, going to the emergency room at the last minute does not constitute everyone having access to health care in this country. Not at all. Maybe Mama works at Walmart. Walmart, of course, has given her lots of seminars on how to take advantage of every last bit of social infrastructure welfare, none of which I object to. But it would seem that working for Walmart, in as much as she has a job, she should be paid enough of a living wage and offered a meaningful health plan in which she can participate that does not force her to choose between feeding her children and making sure that she has coverage for that dark day when her fingers find that lump. Maybe she works at Walmart. And so maybe she's not a drain on society, one of them drones that won't get out and get a job. But the lump is there just the same. And once, of course, if she does try to get some sort of treatment, once she has to, because chemo, I don't care how hardy you are, chemo is damnably brutal. And it will take its toll, and she will get to the point where she can't make it to Walmart that one extra day, that one more day. And Walmart's management won't say, well, you know, that's wonderful. You've been an associate for 10 years now. We're just going to keep on paying you, but you stay home and take care of what needs taking. Oh, hell no. Walmart's going to say, it's been nice. See you, sister. By the way, did we tell you that we've got a life insurance policy in your name that pays us when you die? See you, sucker! Yeah. That's the America in which we live. I would not have wanted to have been present at Representative Steve Cohen's town hall meeting in Memphis on Saturday. That particular event, and granted, the right-wing thugs have been going wild in the streets. Look, let's face it. Let's face it. For the love of God, let's face it. For 8 long, miserable, tormented, tortured, sick, twisted, psychotic years, we had George W. Bush, that pig-eyed, jug-eared little lout, and his boss and accomplice, the vampire Dick Cheney, telling us, be afraid, be very afraid. There's a 6-foot-7-inch man in white robes with a portable dialysis machine, and he lives in Pakistan, and he means you no good, and he wants to kill you. That's you, right there. You, yes, you, Mr. and Mrs. Middle America, right when you're in the middle of Action Alley at Walmart, he wants to kill you dead. He wants to fly 747s into every Walmart in America, because he hates your home mortgage, and he hates your freedom. And that's the threat to America. We had 8 years of that. I'm still here. You still here? 6-foot-7-inch man, white robes, portable dialysis machine, cave in Pakistan. Has he gotten to you yet? Because somehow he hasn't gotten to me. I'm apparently low on the list for some reason or another. My Walmart is not a smoking heap of Chinese garbage yet either. No, the greatest threat to America today, as it has for years now, comes from America's right wing. From the people who hate this nation, from the people who hate you, who hate us, who hate the America that our fathers, mothers, grandfathers, and great-grandmothers, great-grandfathers, and great-grandmothers built what once was the proudest, most broad middle class in the country. They hate it all, and they will not be happy until they have destroyed it. And so, yes, indeed, they did show up, these healthers. They did show up in Memphis, Tennessee. Thanks to our buddy Luke in East Tennessee, I have it before me a news copy from the Memphis Commercial Appeal. And it shows the typical pasty-faced, doughy white people standing and screaming in a town hall. And Linda Moore, for the Memphis Commercial Appeal, writes as follows. Hundreds of people crowded into the Bridges building in downtown Memphis on Saturday for a congressional town hall meeting that quickly deviated into a raucous shouting free-for-all, requiring extra law enforcement officers to watch over the scene. The meeting, hosted by U.S. Representative Steve Cohen, D. Memphis, decent guy, friend of Warren's Yvonne, was scheduled to address constituents' concerns about Social Security and veterans' benefits, but the real topic of the day was health care reform legislation being crafted by Congress. Most of the people in the crowd of close to 500 were in loud opposition, although Cohen supporters held their own, waving signs that read, "Health Care Now." As one heckler yelled, another one shouted back, "Shut up! I want to hear my congressman! You shut your mouth!" Within 15 minutes of the start of the event, a nearly nose-to-nose confrontation between individuals with opposing views became so heated they had to be separated as Shelby County Sheriff's deputies and Memphis police officers called for reinforcements. No arrests were made. Cohen invited area physicians to share their opinions on health care reform. The crowd of wingnut conservacreeps screamed at Dr. Neil Beckford, howled at him, did everything but fling poop when he mentioned the fact that 50 million people in this country are without any form of health insurance. Yeah. This thing goes on, but what it doesn't mention this time the conserva creeps brought guns. Yes, they did. They brought their goons. They brought their little varied caliber penis extensions to the meeting. Because they were afraid their congressman was what? No, they didn't bring it to defend themselves. They brought it, and you know damned well they knew they were packing their heat because they intended that to intimidate. Yeah, them liberals, they won't bring their guns. We're going to bring our guns. Now shut them damn liberals up, and we won't have any more of this talk of that damn communist socialized medicine. That's why I'm bringing my gun. Makes me feel all sexy when I strap it on. Bring my gun. My wife's bringing her gun, too. It makes her sexy as well. You know, at home, sometimes she puts on this camouflage bikini that I got her out to the outdoor store, and she wears her gun with that, and I can barely constrain myself when she does that. Oh, Lordy Jesus, it's hot. Yeah, I saw one of those today. Gun? No, worse. But part of today's activities involved going and getting a pair of football cleats for the boy. And they didn't have any in the shoe store. They didn't have any at Kmart. No, they didn't have any in Wally World. Yes, I looked. I'm sorry. Walked through there and walked through all those people with those blank-eyed stares. Just sort of having a good day to the Wally World. And finally somebody said, well, you know, down there at the outdoor store where they got all the hunting equipment and the bows and arrows and so forth, they got some football cleats. And lo and behold, they did. But what to quote Clement Moore, what to my wondering eyes should appear when it was like, Jesus, it was like some sort of survivalist Victoria's Secret. Really? Camouflage underwear. Blaze orange panties. I wish I was lying to you. And not, you know, discreetly tucked away in the corner or anything. Not that I'm all hung up or anything like that. But, you know, Jesus. I go into an outdoor store. I'm used to seeing, you know, the turkey hunting stuff with the funny. And they had some of these. Looks like fake leaves on it so you can hide and squawk with your little hen call. And then blow the turkey away when he comes up. And they had climbing tree stands and crossbows and so forth. But right there where you have to go to the counter there to pay for your purchase was the damnedest thing I ever saw. Yep. Women's camo undies. Camouflage undies. So you can hide and be stealthy and sexy at the same time. But really. Briefs. Thongs, bikinis, monokinis, one pieces, all in camouflage. You know, I think camouflage is the state color of West Virginia. Jesus. I mean, so, but we got the boys' cleats and got out of the building okay. But I held up a little flimsy, lacy camouflage baby doll to Agnes, and I said, "Ooh, baby!" Yeah, that went over like a punch bowl. It's just all around me. You know, this is my life in Appalachia. And speaking of my life in Appalachia, big new announcement out for a happening Labor Day event that's going to go down. It'll be held near Holden, West Virginia. Massey Energy just released. Remember Massey Energy, who's laid off a boatload of people because coal isn't bringing the prices that they want, and they're not making the profits they want, and Don Blankenship isn't making the money he wants, and he hasn't figured out yet that they don't hook hearses to hook U-Hauls to hearses. Yeah, they're having a working families Friends of America rally. Yep. Oh, and it's gonna be good. It's gonna be real good. They're gonna have them Sean Hannity, and they're gonna have them Ted Nugent. You remember Ted Nugent? He's the guy who was such a patriotic, gun-toting American that when he was called to go before his draft board back during the Vietnam era, he didn't change his clothes for a couple of weeks and made a point of defecating on himself and urinating on himself and not changing clothes and then going to the draft board and saying, "I'm too crazy to fight for my country." Yeah, that Ted Nugent. And Hank Williams Jr. is going to be there. Hank, why do you roll smoke? Hank, why have you made of yourself a joke? Now more than ever, it is the time for working people and businesses to join together and speak up about the economic damage caused by an overreaching government. For our communities to grow and prosper, our people need freedom, said Art Kirkendall, president of the Logan County Commission. The Friends of America rally is about standing up for our freedoms, our families, and the American way of life. You know, that American way of life where, you know, if you're poor and you don't have health care, you go and get out of the way and die. The American way of life as defined by people being thrown out of work because the CEO of a certain corporation has so mercilessly and recklessly and willfully and wantonly pursued the destruction of West Virginia that he's overproduced the product that he's in to the point that the bottom fell out of the market. So now he's laid off hundreds and hundreds of those working American families. And about 9 times out of 10 convinced them that them tree-hugging environmentalists done it to you. Featured speakers include Sean Hannity, a nationally syndicated radio host and Fox television host, and life support system for a haircut. Lord Christopher Monckton, a former science advisor to former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher.
Well, you see, the Earth isn't actually going through a climate change period. What it's going through, you see, is a failure of a sufficient market capitalization within the capitalist theory initially advocated by Margaret Thatcher.
And Hank Williams Jr. is going to sing, and Halfway to Hazard's going to sing, and Taylor Maids are going to sing, and American icon Ted Nugent's going to MC the event. Maybe he can talk about wanting to stick his gun up Hillary Clinton and pull the trigger again. That's real cool when he does that. America's working families are under attack from several fronts. Don Blankenship said, "America's job providers and American workers must rally together and let our voices be heard. We are proud to provide Central Appalachia with good-paying jobs that cannot be outsourced, and we will continue to fight to make sure they aren't taxed or regulated out of existence." Let's see. This rally is being held to let Washington know that we support policies that support American jobs, said Ruth Lemon, president of the West Virginia Automobile and Truck Dealers Association, one of the many state organizations supporting the event. Well, listen, if the West Virginia Truck and Automobile Dealers Association is supporting this event, then that means that the West Virginia Truck and Automobile Dealers Association does not want my business. So Ford dealers, Chrysler dealers, General Motors dealers, if you're a member of that organization in West Virginia, you folks can go straight to hell for all I care. And I'm going to make sure I let you know. Because if you support the poisoning of my community, if you support the poisoning of my family, if you support the poisoning of my friends, my neighbors, my relatives, if you support the poisoning of the very future itself, I don't care if you never sell another automobile. We're glad to support the Friends of America rally. It's a perfect opportunity to honor the contribution hardworking Americans make to our economy, those hardworking Americans being less than 5,000 in number, who take a paycheck for doing things to their communities that if they were done by others would constitute a crime. Ben Hatfield, CEO of International Coal Group, the fine folks who brought you 12 dead bodies in the bowels of a Widowmaker mine called Sago. We are proud to stand with the men and women that fuel American industry, create American jobs, and grow the American economy, and poison America's future. No, I added that part. It's going to be held Monday, September 7th, 2009, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. The event will be free and open to the public. You must register online for your free guest pass. I'm guessing if I went to register, I'd be turned down. But we're not going to protest that. They'll have their thing and they'll enjoy it. We're not going to get all liquored up and half-naked and walk around and show our skinhead tattoos and rub hot dogs and hamburgers all over our bodies and threaten to slash the throat of people in attendance. We're not going to do that because we're nonviolent. And we'll leave that to the coal thugs. Because, you see, they aren't nonviolent, and that is what they do. Wow, where did the first half hour of the program go? Regardless of where it went, let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hey, Susan.
Care for a little quote?
Yes, please.
People such as scientist Stephen Hawking wouldn't have a chance in the UK, where the National Health Service would say the life of this brilliant man, because of his physical handicap, is essentially worthless.
Huh? What?
Needless to say. Yeah, that's a quote from a an article, an editorial in the Investor's Business Daily. Apparently nobody told them that Hawking
is British.
Although he is. You know, confined to a wheelchair and a voter, he was born in the UK and he lives there to this day.
The morons are on parade. I'm sorry, that's morans.
Yes. Now.
And apparently they've got the ear of the editorial board at the Investor's Business Daily.
Yeah, apparently. Now, would you like to hear a another giggle?
I'd like it a lot.
Okay. They had a minor dust-up at that town hall in Tampa, and one of the freepers was injured, and he claims that some union thug beat him up.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Well, it turns out that the guy that was injured doesn't have any health care. He's soliciting online donations. The god of irony lives.
God is a god of irony.
Yep.
But see, he don't need none of that socialized medicine, Susan. because he's got Americans who love him, who will pass the hat and take care of his health bills and make sure that American health care corporations make a profit in the process. How much more American do you want him to be?
Well, apparently...
Of course, he's faking his injuries, too.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that not only is this ridiculous, but guess who is implementing universal health care?
Who?
China.
Oh, no, they're doing that. You got to remember, the U.S., the America-China Chamber of Commerce was started and run for many, many years by members of the Bush family. So this is probably some sort of the false flag kind of thing where, well, see, the communist Chinese are doing it. That proves we don't want it.
Gotta love it, though. God is an iron. Anyway, I just wanted to bring in those three little goodies for you.
Precious business, that. No, I've seen a photograph of the guy who was roughed up by the thugs.
It's... coming out that he may have started the whole thing.
Yeah, and you know what? I got a feeling if you dropped a snake in his lap or something, not a poisonous snake or anything, just a snake. If you dropped snake in his lap, he'd do the 40 in about 4.2.
Mm-hmm. After screaming like a girl.
Meanwhile, Diaper Dave Vitter, did you notice that he had his town hall meeting and nobody was screaming at him?
Yes. I said several words over that article.
None of them printable, probably.
No.
Burn right through the page.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had a town hall meeting in Pineville, Louisiana that about 1,500 people showed up for. And
they were all pre-screened, of course.
They were pre-screened. Not a single question was asked that wasn't pre-screened. And he had the nerve to say, the best security for one of these events is to do what the people want you to do. I wonder if that involves hiring hookers to put you in diapers and verbally abuse you. I don't know. He said the angry mob is always welcome at my events.
Right, provided they can pass the screening process.
Let's see. Who was it? The Alexandria Town Talk. Says, the Louisiana Republican spoke at what was billed as a town hall meeting at Louisiana College's Gwynn Auditorium. It was a friendly audience, but there was little chance for disagreement to be expressed. The panel of speakers all joined Vitter in opposing the reform package being debated in Congress. Questions from audience members were screened and selected in advance of the event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, angry mobs need not apply.
Right.
Yeah, here's dude. Dude's name is Kenneth Gladney of St. Louis. Yeah.
Then, of course, there's always the connection in people's minds to South Park. I mean, you just can't miss it. Kenny!
Kenny! But, no, this is... he is uninsured.
Mm-hmm.
And they took the yellow "Don't Tread on Me" flag, and they went to SEIU headquarters. These birthers, deathers, healthers, and conserva creeps, and they had new yellow flags. Where do they keep getting these money to have these things printed up, Susan? Just curious. I mean, grassroots organizations have a hard time getting money. It's a tough.
They're financed by the Republicans.
Oh, oops, that's right. And so they had their yellow flags. Isn't it interesting that they would choose yellow for themselves? They had their yellow flags with the coiled snake on it. That's where I got the idea of dropping a snake in Kenneth Gladney's lap and just seeing how quick he ran. But they came back and they had their yellow flags again. Only said, "Don't tread on Kenny." Isn't that funny?
Like I said, South Park.
I wonder how long they had to look to find themselves an African American man that they could use as a token in their movement. I mean, I'm sure that sounds really, really rotten of me to ask, but I'm just asking. Because there's nothing grassroots about this. This whole thing is astroturfed.
Sure it
is. Let's see. At Saturday's event with a crowd of about 200 people, this is where they had the flags that said, "Don't tread on Kenny."
Mm-hmm.
His lawyer, he's already lawyered up, of course.
Of course.
Read a prepared statement that Gladney wrote. Sure he did. "A few nights ago, there was an assault on my liberty and on yours, too. This should never happen in this country." Tell that to the people bringing guns to meetings.
Right.
Because I don't think... anybody pull a gun on Kenneth Gladney?
Not to my knowledge.
No, I don't think so either. Oh, you cannot make this stuff.
You just can't make it up.
You know, and it's been it's been a heck of a day, and just trying to keep up with this stuff through the course of the day, it's and over the course of the weekend, it's been mind numbing.
Yeah.
And I don't think that, I mean, is there any doubt at this point, Susan, that the most dangerous threat to America right now is conservatism? And the ignorant, blind sheeple who follow the lies that conservatism pumps out on a daily basis. I mean, the websites that I go to do show prep and stuff, usually they've got some stuff that we're working on. But it's almost impossible to cut through all the responding and reporting about all of the filth that the right wing and the conserva creeps are up to now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in response mode, and as that rotten bastard Karl Rove once said, the only thing he ever said that I agree with, if you're explaining, you're losing.
Yeah, you're losing. Yeah. We're going to have to do something about that.
And we're explaining.
I shall let you go to your next caller, and I shall be seeing you at Netroots.
All righty, we're going to be there. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a lot of hard work, but I'm looking forward to it again because we've got a nice little team put together to make things happen.
It's going to be a giggle.
It's going to be a blast. We'll talk to you soon, Susan.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. News Ninja Susan calling from Columbia City, Oregon, and we move right along. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hi.
In Arizona.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Hi, sweetie, and blessed be the citizen. You were brilliant. You were the concept of having a table that offer with notary republics who offer these folks the chance to give up any claims to government-supported medical aid is just brilliant. I've been giggling on that one ever since. When you talked about the give it up, babe. I also want to point out a wonderful American tradition that we have. I'm sure Europe wants to copy this, is every time you walk in a convenience store or check out at a convenience store, there's the jar with the picture and the description of who's in distress.
Yes.
Now, this is American, this is the greatest medical care on the planet. Right there in the convenience store, you can get your half, you know, you can get your coffee and your donut and leave a dime for the little crippled kid on the corner.
Right. Or the the young mother with leukemia.
Yeah, yeah, that's a fine old American tradition.
Yeah, I saw one the other day, Fancy. I'm glad you mentioned it because... When I drop my dollar in, let's see, I'm a soft touch. I don't do dimes. When I got a dollar, I got a dollar. It's hell when I go to Washington D.C. I promise you. But anyway, if I've got it, I drop it in. And I saw one the other day, and I just looked at it, and I said, I'll be glad when we've got health care for all Americans. And the manager looked at me and he said, "Me too, brother. Me too."
I have a few other points. I just wanted to say that I know that McCain and Kyle here in Arizona, now see, in Arizona, we're blessed with a rather large Hispanic population.
Yes.
And of course, McCain and I have been pen pals for many years.
Oh, I can just imagine.
Oh, Lord, yeah. I virtually write the same letter but once a year, and then he virtually writes the so happy to have you write, and I totally disagree with you response. But, you know, it's very hard for them to explain to our Hispanic population that having decisions made for them by old white guys is much more in their interest than having Hispanics and, oh, my God, Hispanic women in the courts. And they dutifully did vote against Sotomayor. But we've got an interesting state here. Now, I'm still working very hard to have the right to carry guns in the House and the Senate here. We have the right to carry guns everywhere else.
Yeah.
And they should open up Congress for, I mean, you know, free Americans should be able to carry a pistol into Congress there in Phoenix.
Yes.
And now, I think I wrote you this, but my late companion and I, my son once it was in, you know, the county all-star band or whatever it was, orchestra. So we were off to see the performance, which was at a high school auditorium, and we're sitting there about middle way in the auditorium, and somebody comes and pushes past us to get to a seat, and the guy's wearing a pistol on his hip. Now, on his belt. And he gets by us, and my companion turned to me and said, I hope he likes the Mozart. And so that's always my feelings now when I see somebody walking around armed. Now, granted, I'm from a small town in Texas, and people had guns, but we didn't shoot each other.
Right, and generally you didn't run about wearing them all over Create. I mean, you know,
mostly rifles and trucks, but these were, you know, as a rural community, and there were critters.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, you got your gun on your gun rack in your truck, and you never know when you're going to have to stop, lean out the window, and blow away a varmint.
Yeah, I wrote you once about sitting on a porch once with a family from they were refugees from actually Holland, and the little boy was about six at the time, and the guy that owned the house got up and walked in the house and got the rifle from behind the door, and across the street was we called them tanks in Texas, but it was a pond, and he shot a water moccasin. And I watched this kid go into total meltdown. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. You know, it's with me today, and I'm in my 60s, and this, what that must have meant to this child who came from the war.
Oh, my.
You know, it was just one of the most amazing responses of people who have seen guns and at that age. Well, I mentioned the convenience store, and, incidentally, next time you're shopping there, see if they've got some of that fine camo, cami underwear in an extra large for me.
They got it.
This will just change my whole romantic life, right?
They've got it all the way from infant size zero up to drag queen.
Okay, I'm in. This is just going to change my life.
Now, I got to tell you, okay, Fancy, help me with this. Because you come from a gun culture, and you know what Blaze Orange is, right?
I'm sorry?
You know what Blaze Orange is?
Yeah.
Now, there were camo bikinis and camo, bikini tops, you know, bra-like things, and there was outright lingerie, bras and panties and stuff. But the one that just threw me was the Blaze Orange briefs. Now, this was not swimwear. This was literally underwear in Blaze Orange.
Oh, well, okay. You wear that at the camp that's next to the shooting range. No, I guess not.
Oh, Excedrin headache number 627,913.
Yeah, I, you know, I've done a, I used to do a talk show, late night talk show on local cable. And one of my favorite shows I ever did was, it was Recreation in the Nude Week. And I had folks from the local, well, with Canyon State Naturists on. And we I said, you want to do the show in the booth? And they said, sure. And they said, join us? And I said, sure. And so we set up with, we had flower pots around. And we had the camera at interesting angles. So that actually, well, it's very complicated, but we were naked. We had our mics on with Band-Aids. I thought it was a wonderful show. And I started out saying, you know, it's Recreation in the Nude Week, and I have some moral questions about recreation, actually. I don't believe in too much exercise. But they were great, and we had call-ins, and it was a lot of fun. Everybody should do a new TV show once in their life.
Well, and that's what I'm getting at, Fancy. I'm thinking that this panty was for women who would otherwise hunt deer in the nude. Because you have to wear some article of blaze orange during deer season in West Virginia.
Well, they may not be hunting, but they may be out there where people are prowling around the woods.
I can't tell, honey.
If you are going to your favorite, streamside rolling the grass place, and it's season, you probably should have some blaze orange on.
And of course, blaze orange ball cap. I can't imagine anything more sexy. Can you?
Turns me on. I just want to say one thing, and then I'm going to go away. But I've talked about this a number of times, but all through the Bush administration, I kept waiting and waiting and waiting for people to turn around and say, I have been betrayed. I wanted to hear people say, you promised me this, and you betrayed me. And I watched a really nice little, it wasn't a short film, it was about an hour and 20 minutes or so, recently on Crawford. And just a beautiful thing. These people were there at the beginning, and they go through the whole period, and they end up, the great rush of, oh, the president's one of our neighbors. And then, you know, a few years later, well, he hasn't come to our church, and he hasn't, the souvenir businesses are closing up, et cetera, et cetera. But I kept waiting for these people to somehow say, I've been betrayed, I've been lied to. And now this health situation, which is so obvious, and it's a masterpiece in having people turn on themselves. The only thing I can see about it comparable are the slaves who fought with the Confederacy. You know, how can people work so hard against their own self-interest?
And you know what? I think Fancy, the answer to that lies in how long they have been subjected to the order to do so, if that makes any sense at all.
That brings to mind, somebody made the observation, I wish I could credit, I can't remember who said it, but it was actually during the Keating trials.
Mm-hmm.
And here's Keating, who's like 6 feet tall and, you know, beautifully sculptured haircut, beautifully cut suit, lovely tie, and he's the kind of man most of us are used to saying yes sir to. And, you know, had they brought in a nice scruffy guy who needed a little bit of a shave and knocked over the local 7-Eleven, fine, we know he's a criminal. But when we have these lovely, lovely people to whom we're used to saying yes sir, what would you like? And, you know, how many lumps of sugar would you like? That it's very hard for us to recognize that these people are crooks.
Yeah, well, they are, and you know, you mentioned Charles Keating, you know, the Michael Milken, Bernie Madoff. No, and. Are we that shallow, Fancy?
I'm afraid we are. This is what's breaking my heart.
I mean, if you do it in a bespoke Savile Row suit.
I have always had a great deal of faith and God, I hate to use such a trite phrase as the common man, but basically just the people around you. If you listen to them, there's a lot of wisdom there. There's a lot of folk wisdom has always impressed me, and I've known people through my whole life who were poorly educated or uneducated, who were very smart people, and I'm not seeing it. I'm just not seeing it anymore publicly. And I'm waiting for somebody to stand up and say, we have been betrayed. And it's amazing to me that it's not happening.
It is, well, it's frustrating in the extreme for starters. And, you know, I was, you know, my dad talked about the fact that my grandfather had an eighth grade education. My grandmother had a sixth grade education. And they made it all the way through a fairly long and tempestuous life on little more than that. And yet, someone of similar background now has enough around him or her in the way of mass media entertainment to make sure that they never... That they never have to manifest their intelligence. Does that make any sense at all?
And I'm reminded of it's an interesting sort of apropos of this. And I've had a number of temporary jobs in my life doing this and that. And I was in some interesting office at one point, and in break time, and my children. I have two children, and they're both very bright. And we were lucky. We found a school for gifted and talented children, and they got a lot of support. And I said, just in the coffee room, and I said, it's very hard raising children who are smarter than you are, which mine are. And this woman turned around, she said, none of my kids are going to think they're smarter than me. And she was one of these, lovely little trailer trash queens that no kid of hers was going to think they were smarter than she was.
No, hell no.
And I realized, my God, this woman is the result of generation after generation of stupiding your children. Intentionally.
Yeah, to the point that it's something approaching child abuse.
Yeah. And that explained an awful lot to me at that point. I mean, somehow in my mind, every parent wanted their child to excel and go beyond who they were and where they were. And then I realized, no, that's not everybody's goal. That this no kid of mine's going to think they're smarter than me people, came from people who said no kid of mine's going to think they're smarter than me and were encouraged in many ways to stupid themselves.
I think you've invented a new verb form, Fancy. Too stupid. And I like it.
Oh, to stupid yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, family... I know I had a very close friend who was the first member of his family to go to college. And he was putting himself through college, and his family did not lift a finger to help. They didn't say, we'll pay for the bus for you to come home and visit. They didn't, and I thought, why can people be like that? And then I realized, it was kind of an insult to them that he was passing them.
We are in more trouble than we know, I think.
I'm afraid.
Because, where was it? I've heard it a couple of times in the recent, just in the last week or so, the fact that a significant plurality of Americans cannot name, and I'm not trying to be an elitist here, but I mentioned this in the truck earlier today while bringing Ferg and Doodle back from their physicals, the fact that a plurality of Americans cannot name not all three branches of government, but one of them.
It has three branches of government.
Well, at least, but the theoretical three branches of government, it's not that a plurality can't name all three and get them right. There's a plurality of Americans that can't name one of them.
No, and there's, I have neighbors.
The church?
I have neighbors who tell me, the president could do this. And I say, no, he can't do that. It's not, I want to make it a law that strawberry is America's favorite ice cream. They can't do that. It has to go through the House and the Senate, and then it has to... didn't you watch I'm a Bill on...
Exactly. That was the very thing that came into my mind, Fancy.
What was it? Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah. I'm only a bill on Capitol Hill.
Right. And I've got neighbors who just, and well, I had been viewers for my show for years, who just had no concept of how what the processes were.
Right, and they view the idea of the presidency as a sort of national fairy godmother who can wave some sort of political wand, and yes, suddenly strawberry is the national ice cream, and English is the national language, and Christian is the national religion. I know what occasioned it. We were watching, because Agnes was with me too, and we were watching some vehicle pull out of a convenience store, a little pickup truck, and it had a bumper sticker on the back, fancy, and said, "America is a Christian nation." And I just looked up and said, "Oh, Lord, would you look at that? America is a Christian nation." And that's when I said, "I'll bet they couldn't even name one branch of the government." And Ferg popped up and said, "The church." And I went,
yeah,
don't.
Yeah.
Don't. That's not
sometimes
funny coming from you. You just
come. Churchgoer and a wonderful Washington story is, there's a story at some point that the pastor of George Washington's church brought him aside. And what was it? He never took communion. And I may get the story wrong, but he never participated in some kind of church activity. And the pastor came by and he said, it's been noticed that you come to church and you sit very politely, but you don't participate in any of this. And I'm going to ask you to start participating. And George Washington said, "Thank you very much," and never came back to church.
Good on him.
Yeah. So we may possibly have our first atheist president and our first president.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
His writings indicate that he was never a... His writings are very polite to the congregations around and the good things they did. He's but he never says, "I believe," or "I felt," or "I recommend," as far as religion went. His writings very much suggest that maybe he was an atheist or a free thinker.
Or
a skeptic.
Well, the term of the day was, of course, deist. And that was somebody who acknowledged the existence of some kind of higher power, but wasn't sure exactly what it was. Now that's a step away from agnostic, but it is by no means the full on religionist.
There are more heaven and earth, Orocio.
Well, exactly, and of course the same applied to Jefferson and Madison. And this is
now, Adams was a believer, wasn't he?
Adams was a Unitarian, and that just and for some reason or another, you can tell them that Jefferson was a deist and wrote his own Bible, and they're okay with that. And you can tell them about what you just mentioned about George Washington or what I just said about James Madison, and it's bothersome to them. But the minute you tell them that John Adams was a Unitarian, they lose all reason. "He was not!" Yeah, he was. I mean, this is the guy who, in that long correspondence with Jefferson, penned that famous quote, and I'm paraphrasing now, but I conclude that the vast majority of humanity would be far better off if there was no religion. Well, hello, John Lennon.
Imagine.
Exactly. Fancy, this has been a delightful conversation. I guess I'm going to be kind of SOL for a few days because I won't have access to the phones. We might, but it's going to take a lot of doing.
I think we're all looking forward to your representing us and bringing us the goodies there from.
Oh, I'm so psyched and so stoked I can't hardly stand it. But
and Susan's going to go?
No. She's just going to.
I thought she said we'll see you there, so I'm thinking, she's going to go.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll turn the video camera and go, "Hey," or something like that. I don't know, but no, we're all going to be there together.
Well, how nifty!
I've got to here in a little bit. You reminded me again. I've got to announce what the lineup is. Who is going to be there and going to be working? Because it's going to be fun.
Sounds great. I'm just I wish you the best, and may you get a tailwind and everything go beautifully for you.
And I'm just hoping we get some new friends out of it and expand the conversation, some new voices to be heard from.
Oh, yeah, I need to say howdy doody sweet patootie to our folks from Mike Malloy who are picking us up now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Fancy, you have yourself a wonderful weekend. A wonderful evening. See what happens to me? I don't even know what day it is.
But a
wonderful evening, and the nice thing is we will at least have access to the chat room in Pittsburgh so we can interact that way.
All right, now. Bye-bye, sweetie.
All right, take care, Fancy. Bye now. Fancy Free from the chat room calling live from Arizona. And let's just keep rolling.
Well, hello, Bob.
Well, hey, Juanita.
Have a bon voyage.
I'm hoping it's going to be bon. Yeah, it's like that Robert Frost poem, you know, miles to go before I sleep.
Right. Well, I hope you tilt some windmills. You know, sometimes that's all we can do. And sometimes it works.
Sometimes it does, and
we need it. We need the windmills in more ways than one. I saw that hearing again, a part of it this morning. They showed it again about with Barbara Boxer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Alexander was the one that said that just for one windmill farm, you'd need land the size of West Virginia. Is that true?
I'll take him at his word.
And he said he didn't want those on his hills, or didn't say hills, his ridges.
Well, but you got to understand, Senator Lamar Alexander is opposed to windmills to the point of losing his reason.
Well, he said that the wind didn't blow that much up there. But what was funny was
where he's. I mean, you know, when
Tennessee.
Yeah, bull. In East Tennessee and Western North Carolina, the wind blows.
I know that man made me so mad. I could have.
Yeah, but
if I had seen him, I could have slapped him in the face.
But the thing is, what he's trying to do is he has been again those same tourism forces that have worked so well in our favor. With regard to mountaintop removal, have also impressed upon him that we don't want to see no damn windmills on top of our national park.
But what was funny was one of the people on the panel, he said, or maybe it was one of the Democrats, I don't remember, but he said, you know, we can go out in the ocean and put them out in the ocean. And we can go offshore, you know, because kind of like a play on words of
mm-hmm. oil. Right.
Another thing that they brought up of interest that I hadn't really comprehended was that we start a lot of those businesses, and unless they put more money in it, you know, than there are now, like the windmills and the solar and so forth, this stuff is going to have to go overseas, just like they had a place, I think it was from Corden from Maryland was talking about that they had started up there. I forget what it was. It wasn't the windmills and it wasn't solar. It was something else. But anyway, he said that they couldn't get any funding, so they went to Spain. And I was thinking about now, just kind of like what could happen. Say we got independent of oil, but if we don't have those other industries here, we're going to depend on somebody else again. And I don't know if I heard it at the start of the show or not, but they said China is starting to get into that, you know, into the, what do you call solar and wind and all?
Alternative.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear that? Were you the one that said that they were going to... start having health care
for the masses? Susan mentioned that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. You know, I hear so much, sometimes I forget where I heard it. But anyway, It's kind of discouraging right now about the health care. And I did find out that Tom Daschle is working. He's working for one of the big insurance companies, and he's an advisor. He's one of the secret advisors. And I just think, what a traitor. To me, traitor of the people.
Yeah.
And that's what it is, because it stands to reason, if we don't have some kind of a public option, then the insurance companies are just going to have a blast. They're going to make so much money, they think they can't see straight. And we'll still be dying out. And another thing I heard this morning, I was watching another part. I see things in part now. Of you know, the show where they call in the C-SPAN?
Mm-hmm.
The Journal?
Yeah.
What is it called, anyway?
Oh, Washington Journal.
Yeah, and then, anyway, they had a reporter from, or writer, whatever, from Business Week talking about health care, and he said that, he sounded to me, I just got the impression he was kind of on the insurance side. But some man called up and he said, well, I'm going to tell you one thing. He said, they're talking about that 1,000 pages. He said, I have read that. And he said, that's why I'm infuriated. And he said, well, sir, they don't really have anything what they're going to do yet. He said, those are just from three different committees, and they haven't gotten together at all. So, you know, it's interesting that you've read it, but he said, it could be like it could be completely different. And but what is so infuriating to me is I just hate all these lies that are being told.
And, of course, Juanita, it's one of those classic examples of a lie can get around the world before the truth gets its shoes on. You know, it's terribly, terribly funny, as Susan noted, and we as the informed human beings go, oh, dang, that's cute. You know, this business with Investors Business Daily. Our pal Marty just sent me the link itself. And Josh Marshall at Talking Points Memo uncovered it. Atlanta Journal-Constitution columnist Jay Bookman noticed that in the latest Investors Business Daily editorial about how the death panel will condemn all handicapped or disabled people to death on some horrid windswept mountain. It also notes, people such as scientist Stephen Hawking wouldn't have a chance in the UK, where the National Health Service would say the life of this brilliant man because of his physical handicaps is essentially worthless. Uh-huh. And Josh Marshall says, needless to say, Hawking, who is recognized as one of the greatest theoretical physicists of the 20th and 21st century, was born in the UK and has lived his entire life there. And you and I and everybody else, dang, look, stupid wing nuts, oh, golly, Moses, they're just dumber than a doorpost. But the problem is what I just mentioned, and that is, to wit, the fact that the truth, a lie can get around the globe before the truth can get its shoes on. And so we don't, you know, you and I laugh because we know what the back, you know, what the back end is. We know where the punchline comes, but there's a whole bunch of Wingnut America, which apparently includes the readers of the Investors Business Daily, which I used to hear being hawked on the right-wing radio. Get the Investor's Business Daily every day, delivered to your, you know, that kind of thing, for only $19.95. Well, they never see the follow-up. They never see someone pointing out the fact that that's a howlingly egregious error and in fact, a pointedly stupid comment. They never see it. They walk around saying, they'd kill that poor scientist that had the Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah.
But then again.
Bob, it's extremely sad.
Well, it is, but also bear in mind.
It's infuriating and it's sad.
It is. But bear in mind, Juanita, that the saddest part of it is that you have to consider who and what Stephen Hawking is.
Yeah.
Stephen Hawking is, as far as I know, an atheist. Stephen Hawking is not somebody who believes in an Earth that is that was created week before last. Stephen Hawking knows that the Earth itself is actually older than the recipe for beer and bread. And with that in mind, Stephen Hawking is one of these people that the right wing hates. But yeah. But he's picked up by the right wing as a darling cause celeb for, you know, why that socialized medicine and their death panel's going to kill us all. Holy cow.
You notice they use people that they brutalize in their comments and would brutalize if they had a chance. And physically, like such as they have. Look how often they use Truman's name, or now, or JFK. You know, to their liking, you know, to their satisfaction, they think. In other words, they're using their names in vain too. But you know what I'm saying is, if it fits their propaganda, which is what they're doing. Then they'll
Everything is fair game.
They'll bring up, you know, like you said, Stephen Hawking. They don't really like the man, but if it serves their purpose, is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
And you know, when I was in school, they taught us about communism, and they said the difference between our way of life and the communists was that the communists believe the ends justifies the means. Well, you tell me now, what Republican don't believe that the ends justifies the means?
When have they never not?
Yeah, I mean, really, and it's getting worse and worse. And you've got, what is the guy that he's the fairly young guy, the big deal propagandist in the Republican Party, Luntz, Frank Luntz?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen him a number of times on C-SPAN, and you know when he goes on there? It's either Christmas or New or Easter. And if somebody calls him and insults him, he'll say, well, that's not very nice to do on this day. Every darn time I've seen him on there, he's been on there on Christmas or Easter.
I get a pass today.
Yeah. But that guy is—he's as vile as anybody because he's a propagandist, big time. And that's what they're doing.
Sure.
And
of course, you know, speaking of propagandists and war criminals and such like, there's always good old Alberto Torture Boy Gonzalez.
What's he up to now?
Well, he was asked, he was interviewed by the New York Times Magazine.
Well,
and he's got this, he finally found work. You know that old saying, right, when you find work. Well, you know, Alberto Torture Boy finally, you know, Torture Mata, he finally wrote because he got work at Texas Tech. Now, here's a guy who's been the Attorney General of the United States, and he can't find a job teaching in a law school. So he's going to teach political science at Texas Tech. Now, this is Texas Tech, okay? Tech means something. It's like Georgia Tech or Caltech or, dare I say it, MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, or West Virginia Tech. They are tech schools, okay? They're about engineering and science and so forth. But Torture Boy Gonzalez is going to teach political science at Texas Tech, okay? That's the work he found. So the New York Times Magazine interviewed him, and they asked him the following question. Would you agree that your reputation was damaged by your services as Attorney General? And he said, it has had an effect, a negative effect, no question about it. And at times it makes me angry because it is undeserved, but I don't want to sound like I'm whining. At the end of the day, I've been the Attorney General of the United States, and it's a remarkable privilege, and I stand behind my service. God, just, you know, now this is a guy who authorized the torture of other human beings. And he calls that, you know, undeserved criticism.
Well, him and Sarah Palin should get together then.
He, to this day, he has not received a single offer from a single law firm after having been Attorney General of the United States. I mean, can you imagine the senior partners at those hotshot Washington law firms? You know, they always snap an attorney general up like that.
Yeah,
usually. Sir, we have Alberto Gonzalez on the line. Tell him I'm washing my hair. I don't.
Or planting roses Sunday.
Yeah, planting roses Sunday.
I do want to say this. You were talking about people not knowing the different branches of the government.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when they had one of the comedians, and I think it was when Colbert was still on there. I think he was the one. He was, you know how they would do the interviews, and he was interviewing a congressman. The congressman was saying that we should have the, that's about the Ten Commandments thing, and he said we should have the Ten Commandments in every classroom, courtroom, blah, 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 you know. And he asked him to name, the comedian asked him to name the some of the Ten Commandments, and the guy didn't know them.
They never do. But to be fair, Juanita, the Ten Commandments are, there's different Ten Commandments. Just like there's, in the first couple of chapters of Genesis, there's two or three different creation myths.
Yeah, there's at least two.
Yeah, and there's a couple of different versions of the Decalogue. But generally it's thou shalt not have no other God before me.
Not many of them, Bob.
Yeah, but, you know, don't lie, don't.
I think he kind of sort of got a couple of them, sort of.
Well, you know, the one that always hangs a pig licking up, Juanita, is thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor covet thou his oxen, nor his ass, nor his oil reserves in the ground.
You know, knowing these Republicans, that gives you an outlook on what that might mean.
Kind of does, doesn't it?
To covet your neighbor's
eye. Hey, look, covet starts with C. C Street. Anybody?
Oh, yeah, good one.
Oh, you know, all those years of watching Sesame Street did pay off. I can tell all kinds of words that start with all kinds of letters.
Good for you, Bob.
I'm so proud.
Oh, well. Well, like I said, just do us proud. I know you will, because I'm already proud of you.
I'll try not to let them hear me swearing and stuff as we're plugging in wires and so forth. Well, I thank you, Juanita. And you know what? All kidding aside, to take that kind of good wishes with me and those kind of hopes is both humbling and inspiring, and I say that sincerely. And I know that Guy James would say the same thing. He's going to be arriving on Wednesday. I'll get there Tuesday evening. Guy James will be there Wednesday.
You're our two knights in shining armor.
Well, I'm gonna have to get out the Brasso and get some of the tarnish off, but I'll see if I can't make it shine a little bit.
Yeah, really and truly, y'all are amazing. You know.
Well, it's gonna be fun. There at some point in time. I mean, I'm absolutely committed to this. Guy James and I will go to Primanti Brothers. And there will be photographs, because that is going to be one happy meat-eating man when he sees that Primanti Brothers. I don't know. He may have had one before, but you know, there's every time if you're not from Pittsburgh, every trip you get to make to Primanti Brothers is.
Now they have the good sandwiches, don't they?
Oh mercy! And you know, this is that sandwich food. This is the food porn portion of the program, Juanita. That, you know, they put the, you know, and it's your choice: pastrami, salami, ham. The corned beef, roast beef, the sliced ribeye, all kinds of stuff. You know, whatever meat you want. And they got this beautiful Italian bread. It's thick sliced.
Oh, yeah.
And they put it on that with whatever fixings you want it.
Yeah.
And then they, you can have your cheese if you get cheese. And then they put on a layer of this slaw that they make that's not mayonnaise-y. It's a vinaigrette slaw, and it's just wonderful. And then they put on a layer of, and this is what makes it so special, they don't serve the fries on the side. They serve the fries on the sandwich because they put a layer of their own fresh cut right there on the place, just out of the fat French fries. Put them French fries right on there and put the bread. And I mean what I mean, talking about good. Whew.
Well, I had me some good fried eggs last night.
Well, hot diggity.
They I cooked some pork chops and cooked. Bacon grease.
I'm calling your cardiologist.
And then I cooked some once over fried eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, it was to die for.
Oh yeah, that is in more ways than one.
I was thinking that's one of the best dishes. Is I don't know if it's a southern way of frying or what.
Oh sure,
the eggs or what, but it. Oh Lord, it's good.
I can remember being a little boy, Juanita, and coming up here on my family. Being as how we were expatriate hillbillies in Alabama, all the other families on my block, when they went on vacation, well, they went to the beach or they went to Disney World or they went over to the Six Flags in Atlanta, and later on they'd go to Opryland, which used to be an amusement park in Nashville. They'd go all kinds of places.
Uh-huh.
When my daddy got his vacation, we piled into the car and we went back to West Virginia to visit the family.
Uh-huh.
And I'd get up here, and my grandmother, who even then, mercy sakes, I guess she was 70 when I was born, but she would fix me what I referred to as pork chop salad, because she would fry pork chops,
uh-huh,
and save that hot grease and put it on a, and then chop some green onions into a bowl of lettuce that she'd pulled out of her garden. And pour that hot grease over those salad greens and let them wilt and throw some salt and some pepper on it. And I thought it was the most wonderful thing that I'd ever had in my life. And there was always a fried egg with it, and there was a pork chop to go with it. And I could cry just thinking about it.
Yeah. Well,
so, yeah, it is a southern thing. It is.
Yeah, it's mighty good. Mighty good eating.
Well, it is indeed.
Oh, boy. You know, it's kind of interesting. All over the world, everybody's got a way of cooking.
Sure.
There's all kind of ethnics and all kind of sections of the different ethnic groups.
With very few exceptions, it's all yummy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's different. And, you know, I could take a recipe. And then you could take one, we could try to do it exactly the same way, and it would come out different. There'd be something different. I don't know. I think about it sometimes. I think it's really amazing.
I know. It is my ongoing desire to taste them all sooner or later. But for the time being, I have to let Tony Bourdain do my tasting for me, and I just catch him at 10 o'clock on Monday nights.
I want to ask you, every time I look up your name on the internet, there's a Bob Kincaid restaurant in Washington, D.C. I want to know about that. Do you?
I've heard about it, and I got to go to it. And
yeah,
I hear.
I've been meaning to ask you about it.
But I know this much, I can never go when Guy James is with me.
What's that?
Because the guy specializes in fish and seafood dishes.
I see.
So, you know, the guy would sit there and starve.
Well, when I first, heard about the Horn Radio, and all, and I look up and I think, well, he used to have a restaurant in Washington, D.C., or maybe he drives up there from...
No, I wish I was that quality of a chef. No, he is really, really good.
Yeah. Does he know about you?
To the best of my knowledge, he doesn't. But if I'm ever hugely famous, I'm going there right away.
But kind of coincidence.
Wasn't Robert Kincaid the central character of the Bridges of Madison County?
No, I don't know. I never was into that.
Yeah, which is just... Anybody,
a bit too schmaltzy for me.
Well, anybody who has ever heard Mike Malloy reading from the Bridges of Madison County, well, anybody who never has heard that, I think the clip is still up somewhere over at whiterosesociety.org. That's 5 minutes of your life that is well spent, because you will weep to hear the reading as performed, and it's an old cut of the Bridges of Madison County as performed by Mike Malloy. It is precious.
Well, I've heard him read other things. I heard him do The Raven, and actually one Christmas he read the the nativity scene from the Bible.
Oh, I think he does that every Christmas.
And then he's read, I haven't heard it all, but he read, what is the book, 1984?
Yeah, he did 1984 on air. Yeah.
Yeah. And, I got to get back into find his program again to listen to, because he's amazing.
He is indeed. Juanita, you have yourself a wonderful week.
See,
I do it again. A wonderful evening. I'm still on Friday. It's like the weekend never happened. You have a wonderful evening, and I hope somehow or another I'll get an email or something from you while we're in Pittsburgh.
Oh, I can send you an email, huh?
You sure can. Same old address. It'll go to Pittsburgh, too.
Well, you and Guy try to behave yourself.
We will try. We do not guarantee success.
It's not easy, I know, but try.
Absolutely. Take care, Juanita.
Night-night.
Bye now. And that's our View correspondent and Central Florida correspondent. That is Juanita. And we go onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
I promised a friend of mine that works for your network, Sue, that I would give you a call about the healthcare stuff.
Yes, do please. I got a little heads up in the email, and I'm looking forward to hearing your story.
Okay, first off, I'm going to tell you that, yes, the central character of Bridges of Madison County was Robert Kincaid.
I thought so.
For the National Geographic, yes. Okay. Although I do have opposition to Obama's CARE plan, I experienced myself today the fact that he is actually only taking his lead from a nice little gift from our President Bush before he left office. I'm a whopping 49 years old.
Okay.
And I am a pacemaker recipient. I'm nearing the end of the pacemaker life of my third pacemaker. And I actually have a situation with the battery on my pacemaker that I was in the doctor's office today to address and found out.
Yes? Did I lose you? Oh, dear. Call back, Sue. Let her know that we lost her call for somehow or some reason or another. Well, maybe it's a battery issue or something, but that's sort of like this is a cliffhanger at this point. So I hope we will hear the rest of that story. And I don't know what happened. It is, however, halfway through the program, and probably appropriate to take a break at this point. Hopefully we'll hear get a call back and we will get the rest of the story, because I very much want to do that. Just to share a couple of things with you before we do take a break, a couple of emails have rolled in. With regard to Fancy's comments about, the verb too stupid, our critic at large, Reverbo, in an email with a subject line titled "A Load of Stupid Is Our House," Reverbo asks, "When did so many people start being content with being stupid? In the new world of dumb, that is particularly sad." And that inquiry, Reverbo, is, of course, probably an entire show's worth of inquiry, if not a week or a month. Sometimes it's referred to as dumbing down. But we understand the concept of dumbing down. It is this troubling concept that Fancy has raised, whereby people are happy to be stupid. Not passively stupid, but actively seeking it. What is that line from? And perhaps it's nothing new. That line from the Jackson Brown song, "The Pretender." I'm going to be a happy idiot and struggle for the legal tender. Last I checked, that song's been around for a while, hasn't it? I don't know that we're just it's just dawning on us because of, you know, this is now and this is where we live. Or if perhaps the Jackson Browne saw something taking place in the late 60s and early 70s that he identified and which has sort of snowballed in its effect in the last 35 to 40 years. Maybe that's it. But it's very much identifiable. I don't know. Does it somehow exponentially increase with the increase in various and sundry niche marketed channels on cable? You know, I'm old enough to remember when television was a very limited wasteland in the middle of the day where there were nothing but soap operas on. Nothing. As the Stomach Turns, Days of Our Children, All My Lives, whatever. But if that wasn't your cup of tea, you had to do something else. I can remember being homesick from school as a, 10, 12, 14-year-old, and just thinking, come on, something, click. And by click, I mean get my dead ass up and go over and walk over to the TV and click, turn the knob. The physical knob. I got one of those cow looking at a new gate looks from my youngest daughter the other day when I mentioned a knob on a television. And very innocently, she looked at me and asked, Daddy, why would a television have a knob? Was it a carry handle? And I thought, oh, hell. I'm screwed. Also, I'm going right back to the phones. I think we've got our caller back. Our pal Allison, who is soon to be making her way to freedom in the coastal Washington area. She says, as a young person, I don't have much company in my love of cooking and the pride I take in boycotting fast food. I love it when you talk food. P.S. I had pork chops slow cooked in apple butter last night. Oh, that does sound good. And, of course, it comes with a Brady Bunch reference. Pork chops and applesauce. Remember when Bobby Brady was trying to do Humphrey Bogart? Pork chops and applesauce. I hate what TV culture has done to my poor little mind. It's unfair. It is unfair that there are poems that I cannot remember, but I can remember Bobby Brady saying pork chops and applesauce to Alice. Out! Cindy says, just got in from the hillside picking blueberries all afternoon. Mm-mm. Good as they can be. And I remember my grandma cooking greens with bacon grease that was just heaven. I tried to do it once and threw it away. There's a touch and I don't have it. I don't have anyone to show me either. Bummer. I write because I heard you referring to being stupid on purpose. Maybe it started with Forrest Gump? I don't know, but my relatives are stupid as sticks. Functionally stupid, yes, because some of them can earn a living, but stupid as sticks. And I am gone, thousands of miles away. Stupid folk can do a lot of damage, you know. Stupid is as stupid does. But see, that's Winston Groom just manifesting, tapping into the main vein of the stupid circulatory system and coming out with stupid is as stupid does. Because the book, and I wouldn't pee on the film of Forrest Gump if it was on fire. But the book Forrest Gump is a little slice of absolute genius. Winston Groom hit something there. I bought it the night before I took the law school entrance exam and was sure I had failed it because I just sat up. I was all spazzed out over the thing. You know how it is. And I sat there reading that thin little book. I hadn't laughed that hard since either Louis Grizzard or Mark Twain or both of them put together. And I was sure I was just going to get destroyed in the LSAT exam. Turned out I did just fine. And that book was a brilliant eye-opener for me by an Alabama native, an Alabama writer, of course, Winston Groom. And he was just, I think he was just reflecting the rise of that culture that he had seen, and he used that character, Forrest Gump, as the person who narrated it from the standpoint of somebody who was supposed to be stupid, but was anything but. Let's go back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello. I understand my call dropped.
Yes, it did.
Okay. Yeah, Sue called.
And it was at the... Yeah, it was at exactly the wrong time, too, because you said, I've been a pacemaker user for this. I'm on my third one, and this one's giving out, and then you were no more.
Oh, okay.
It's a little frightening.
Yeah. Well, I went in and I had my check, today. I had been alerted last week that I had a problem with this pacemaker. This particular one is 8 years old now. The requirements prior... I'm a lupus patient, so I'm on Social Security Disability and Medicare. The prior requirements had been if you were within 6 months of your battery life, you could get a new pacemaker. The new requirements are you have to have less than 1 month battery life left before you can get a pacemaker.
Wow, that's cutting a little close.
Yeah, just a little bit. Since 1995 up until today, I've been classified as pacemaker dependent because my average heart rate on its own is 22 beats per minute. And one of the changes that was made to Medicare no longer qualifies you as pacemaker dependent if your own heart rate is 15 beats per minute or more. And considering the average adult, up to about 60, 65 years old, your resting heart rate is 60 beats per minute. You're almost dead at 15 beats per minute.
I don't know of anybody who's anything resembling alive at 15 beats per minute.
Exactly.
I mean, and I guess I'm just being a little bit mean here, but did they make Dick Cheney wait till he was a month?
No.
Of having his batteries run out?
Well, I'll tell you, I told Sue, I was extremely upset when I returned back from this appointment, and I called Sue right away and told her what was going on. This being my third pacemaker, I have never had this happen. What they have to do now is, the generation anyways of pacemaker that I have, when it starts not capturing missed beats, it will automatically adjust its voltage of its battery up so that its sensitivity is higher and can capture those missed beats. Well, the new regulations require them to set that voltage back down again, and they can go as far down as 45 beats per minute now. Whereas before, the lowest they could go was 60.
This sounds, forgive me, because I don't deal with the problems that you deal with. This sounds like utter lunacy.
It is.
Is there any sort of rationale or explanation offered for this? I mean, is there a class of...
It extends the battery life. So, like, when I went in...
But are there, and I'm not trying to be a smart aleck here, are there a class of pacemaker patients who are having their hearts beat frivolously?
I have no idea. I'm one of these people, I fight my disease every day of my life, and I stay as active as I possibly can stay. And, I know you're in communication with Sue a lot and stuff, and you can check with her. I mean, I overcome a lot of things. But it's almost like what Bush passed before he left office will keep the average person that is dependent on a pacemaker down. At 45 beats per minute, I'm going to tire much more easily than I was at 60 beats per minute. And it just, I'm just learning this today. Obama's health plan is only following step with what Bush already started.
Okay, I was going to ask you, you led into this by saying that there's an aspect of bushiness in this. Can you elaborate?
Well, because these changes went into effect, they began January 1st, 2009. Obama hadn't even taken office yet. He couldn't possibly have instituted this.
So wait a minute. So this would constitute, if you'll pardon my characterization, this would constitute literally a rationing of healthcare battery life for pacemakers that was instituted not by some wild-eyed liberal Democrat, but it's actually the GOP is being conservative with heartbeats now?
It would appear so, because this was not something that was done by Obama. This was new regulation that went into effect for Medicare recipients January 1st, 2009. Obama wasn't even in office yet.
No.
Okay, so I don't care who you are, you can't put that on Obama's shoulders. It cannot be done. And I'm just finding this out today. We were full prepared to set a date to have a new pacemaker put in. And instead, what happened was they readjusted the voltage on my battery so that it doesn't, it can skip up to 15 additional beats per minute before it will adjust itself back up to start capturing again.
Is there any physician that's out there who has said to you, don't worry about it, you'll be fine?
No. Well, and the fact that they just took me from a monitoring of every 3 months to every month tells you that the physician's office is concerned about what they're seeing. But their hands are tied. Because my only health coverage is Medicare. They can only follow what Medicare will say they'll pay for.
You know, I understand.
Now, there's two different types of pacemakers. There's actually a single-chamber pacemaker, and there's a dual-chamber. I have a dual-chamber because both chambers of my heart are affected. I'm third-degree heart block. But because of the new rules, I'm not eligible for my pacemaker now because setting the voltage back down extended the battery life from when I went in. It was between 1 to 3 months. They extended it to 6 months by setting the voltage back down and allowing it to drop to 45 beats per minute before it will force its voltage back up to start recapturing again.
May I make a suggestion? And this has nothing. I'm painfully ignorant of pacemaker technology. First of all, I'm hearing from Ben Birch, who maintains our streams and is our resident knower of many things engineering and technical. And he writes to me very simply. And I don't give away your anonymity if you don't to. But can I have a name to call you by?
Yeah, I'm Mary.
Okay, Mary. Okay.
And you're going to laugh at me, but it really, truly, honest to God truth, it's Mary Jones.
Wow.
Okay.
You'll be hard to find.
Yeah.
We'll have to sort. We'll have to.
There's only one of me, right?
The humorless guys in the with the skinny black neckties are going to have to go through a lot of folks to find you.
Yeah.
Ben says to me, and he says very simply, Bob, get her to write this story, please. We need to get this case out there, and he suggests that we spread it to Mike Malloy's audience and elsewhere as well. And I join him in that suggestion. But let me also take another step, Mary. And I realize he's not your congressman. But this is the kind of thing that Dennis Kucinich is taking an active interest in. And he is...
Actually, he is one of the congressmen in my area.
Well, yeah, he's from, what, Cuyahoga County?
Mm-hmm.
I would at least contact some legislative assistant in his office with this story. And not story, but with this account. Because this is so important.
Everybody that knows me was full prepared for me to come back with a date of a pacemaker replacement today.
And
needless to say, my fiancé and I are quite miffed over this is insane. This is absolutely insane.
Yeah, it is.
And then the next step I was told when the battery life starts dropping back again is they can actually and are required to turn off that automatic accelerator and put me on an every 2 week monitoring schedule so that the pacemaker will not automatically accelerate its voltage, but rather will only monitor and report the occurrences that the acceleration should have occurred. This is insane. And it is something that started January 1st of 2009. It's not anything Obama had a single thing to do with. He was not in office.
No, it's what it sounds like to me, Mary, is another in the ongoing series of the right wing's attempt to prove that government delivered services don't work, and the way they prove it is by breaking them. What you have just experienced, if you will pardon my characterization, and I am not trying to be flip, you have just experienced the FEMAization of the pacemaker program.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's crazy that they're doing this. My secondary insurance is Medicaid, but it's a form of the Medicaid that it's called Quimby, and it picks up what Medicare doesn't pay. But if Medicare does not approve the charge, Medicaid won't pay for it either.
Right, because there's a symbiotic relationship there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because I've had other people that I have had the discussion today with that said, well, Medicaid should pay for it. Well, no, they won't, because I'm not on straight-out Medicaid. The version I'm on, Medicare has to approve the procedure before Medicaid will pick up Medicare's, you know, overage or whatever.
Right.
But this is just—it's absolutely insane. It's absolutely insane. And you know, to be.
Well, let me ask you, Mary. How would you
pacemaker dependent when your average heart rate on its own is 22 beats per minute is crazy.
That just boggles my mind. Let me just ask you a question, if I may, and that is, how would you respond if someone made the argument to you that this just proves that that government-run health care doesn't work?
I'm not real sure, you know, because I don't know that I would, well, I get, you know, Medicare is a government-run insurance, but there's a lot that would say that government-run health care has, in this country anyways, has gone down. You know, and this is, when I had this pacemaker put in, what did I have left on my battery life? 2 years? I think it was showing 18 months or 2 years on my last one. And I had private insurance with Medicare secondary. They had no problem with it then. And that was in 2001. So they had no problem with it then.
Right, because they were dealing with regulations that came out of the 90s.
Right. Well, now the regulations... You have to be basically dead before they'll pay for it.
at which point, fat lot of good it does.
Right.
Well, let me make another suggestion, because people are responding to your account, Mary. Both Ben Birch and our pal Marty have also have chimed in and said, you've got to tell Bernie Sanders this story. Because, as Marty notes, Bernie Sanders has a link on his website for stories just like yours.
Okay.
I'm really, really proud that you have, I'm honored that you have chosen to share, your account with, on this program, but I would be some sort of gosh awful hypocrite if I was to say, well, no, we'll just keep it right here. Get these details of your life. This isn't a story. A story implies something that isn't real. This is gut level real. Get this account out to as many people who are involved in the right side of this debate, the correct side, not the right, but who are involved in the correct side of this debate as you possibly can. Because only by shining a light on it can you get the relief that you need.
People need to understand this. And, you know, my particular situation is my third-degree heart block is actually from the lupus.
Right, because being autoimmune and rather mysterious, lupus has all kinds of associated problems, and it's sadly one of those diseases that's not even remotely close to being fully understood.
Right, and the group that Sue's talked about, we actually had somebody in our group this past Thursday tried to, I won't use the word imply, because she directly associated the new swine flu vaccination as causing lupus.
Oh.
Yeah, you about peeled me off the ceiling. But people do need to know this, because this is something that we just found out today. Just 11 o'clock this morning is when I found all this out. And like I said, this is the first time, today is the first time since 1995 I've been classified as non-dependent on my pacemaker, because my heart rate averages 22 beats a minute. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is. It is absolutely crazy. That and under that metric, anybody with a heart that beats at all is non-pacemaker. Look, and again, I'm sorry to be. I'm not trying to be. Yes, I am mean about it. But I want somebody to tell Dick Cheney that he's good with 22 beats per minute.
Right. Right. But I'm not an ex-vice president, so I don't get to have...
Right, and you also...
...on me that he does.
Right, and you also don't have the best socialized medicine that the American people can give someone.
That's right. I could go up to Canada with Canada's medicine and have a better shot at getting my pacemaker replaced than what I'm getting here.
Oh, yeah, up in Canada it would be, oh, your pacemaker battery's going out on yay. Oh, we better fix that, eh?
Yep.
And,
yep.
You know, no lines and no rationing and no, you know, you...
Absolutely. And they're not, they're just basing it across the board. They're not looking at individual situations, you know, because the 22 beats a minute is an average for me. There could be times that I'm beating fully on my own. There could be times where I'm, if it weren't for the pacemaker, I could be down to 10 beats a minute on my own. It's across the board. I mean,
that's the nature of an average.
Right. And so they're basing the battery life on what they're seeing when I'm sitting in their office. Okay, well, you're utilizing it this percent of the time. So based on that, you have this many months left on your battery. Well, that's all fine and well. But in 2 days, I could go 4 days where my heart's only beating 10 beats a minute by itself, which then the percentage that I'm using the pacemaker has now skyrocketed, and my battery life has now significantly decreased.
Right. And I assume that there's some sort of processor inside the pacemaker itself that yields this data.
Yeah, to them, but they only receive that data by way of their, you know, monitoring, which at this point is once a month now. up until today, I was every 3 months. But that only goes to show that this isn't a choice of the physician. Because the physician's office is concerned enough about it that they're saying, oops, we can't let you go 3 months. You have to do this every month. So this isn't a choice of the physician. This is a choice of Medicare. And it is something that was changed and became effective January 1st, 2009.
Merciful heaven.
So for everybody that wants to say that this is all, you know, that everything in the health care bill is all Obama, you know, yeah, part of it is, but he's actually following in Bush's footsteps. He's actually following in what Bush started. Bush started it. He's only continuing it at this point. And like I said at the very beginning, I'm not saying I'm in favor of the health care bill. I'm not. But this only proves the point that this is not party line issue. You know, it isn't, oh, the Democrats are doing this. The Republicans started it.
Right.
So they can get rid of that argument. You know.
Well, first and foremost, Mary, I hope you get relief.
Well, I'll get this. I'll get a hold of Sue, and we'll get this, you know, brought up. And I know she's listening, so she can, you know, give me the addresses, emails, whatever that I need to get it sent to, and I'll get it sent to the people that you asked about. So, and she talk to Sue. She's got a product that might help you shine up that armor a little bit.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
Mary, it's wonderful talking to you, and I look forward to hearing back from you. And let us know what happens when you start sharing these details with people.
Okay, I'll do that, and I will get the email addresses from Sue.
All right.
Okay, Bob. Thanks.
Take care, Mary.
Bye.
Pleasure talking with you.
And good luck in Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Look at that. And just by, my God. We will be decades, if not an entire blasted century, finding all the teeny, tiny little things that for ordinary, extraordinary human beings living day-to-day lives turn out to be humongous things that the Bush administration did to try to destroy anything that was good for America. Anything that was good for the American people. There is nothing to which they did not, there is nothing to which they set their hand that they did not set it in the hope of creating a little more misery, a little more chaos, a little more hell. We have not begun to see even so much as the tip of the iceberg in terms of the manifest evil that was done over the course of 8 years by an administration that took power in what can only be called a coup. We will take a little break here at the top of the beginning of the third hour of the program. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. If you want to direct dial, it's 304-658-3333. Email rolls into bobkincaid@gmail.com. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. And we do direly need that support. There's a button for PayPal at headonradionetwork.com. If you've never used it before, this would be a good time to start. We'll be right back. I'm Bob.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Well, unless I make some little... I kid. Who are we kidding? Unless some little miracles happen with regard to our on-the-road phone system, these will be the last conversations you and I have for a week. So, for heaven's sakes, don't let the opportunity pass you by. You know, you just heard the phone number. You know how it works. Chime right in. And I said before the break, and let me just reiterate, because God knows I hate doing this. First of all, I want to thank everyone who has ordered a copy of the print For the Love of Appalachia, created by our dear friend Diane, whose idea this was, and the response to which has been really wonderful. There are not a lot of these. The time to get one is now, because, frankly, they meet a need for the horn that the horn has right now. It's, you know, nobody's going to Pittsburgh and living large. I joked about that, I talked about that trip to Permanente Brothers, and you know what? That's going to be the high living of the trip. It just is. So, but, you know, there's fuel to be purchased. The parking alone, nobody's covering the parking. The parking alone is something on the order of $25 a day. And that's, let's see, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's six. That's $100 plus. No, that's $150. So there's going to be a real need just to make sure I can get the old family truckster out of hock on Sunday morning. And, you know, this one of the reasons I love this project so much is because it's not simply asking you to contribute to keep things going here, which is what you're doing, but you're getting something in return. And you're not just getting something in return. You're getting something in return that is precious, that you will want to keep for a long time, that is signed by the artist and numbered. This is an extremely limited run. And... Well, when you see it, you'll know that you have had a hand in keeping all of this going, but also in advancing the dialogue on the issues that matter to you. And for that we're grateful. And the other thing that we are is inspired. And I'm also informed by John Fox that and I saw the email from Diane earlier, the first batch have gone out by mail today, and they will go out in batches because Diane does live in New York City, and going to the post office is, I think it's a little bit more complicated than when I go to the post office. Let's put it that way. I get in the truck, I drive a mile and a half down the road, and I'm at the post office. I don't think it quite works like that in New York City. I could be wrong, but I'm guessing. It's just life's a little more complicated in civilization. So some of you will be receiving them very, very soon, and I look forward to your input on your thoughts about them. I wanted to point out something to you that I thought you might find interesting. As I was waiting for everybody to be ready to head out the door this morning, I checked my email, of course, and I had a link sent to me to an article over at alternet.org. And it is a piece for Alternet by Cynthia Lowen, L-O-W-E-N. And the title of it is, Whatever Happened to Progressive Talk Radio? Did Air America Kiss It Goodbye? The subhead, the subslug, is we need a progressive antidote to Limbaugh, Savage, and Beck, yet Air America Radio seems to have gone in a different direction. And I read it, and mostly it was stuff that I already knew about Air America, that they were co-opted by a right-wing corporation last year in the form of former Clear Channel executives. And but I got to tell you, one of the things that I appreciated most was the fact that within the comments to this story, lo and behold, let's see, what is it? Let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Fifth comment down, posted by someone named Shellius. And I am very grateful for the comment because it mentions the horn. And, of course, I posted, and I thanked the person for the mention. And lo and behold, a little bit later in the day, I followed the thread on down, and there, lo and behold, is a comment posted by someone that I think I know who it is, because I recognize the handle. But someone by the name of Muad'Dib posted the following. Top the subject line, there is a plethora of liberal talk radio out there. Granted, it is scattered. One of my personal favorites and longest-lasting independent liberal network, which is true, is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network, headonradionetwork.com. This is the home of conversation radio. Please give it a listen. And be sure not to miss Bob Kincaid from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And that just, I can't tell you what it does for me to see people out there doing that kind of thing. Just letting folks know we exist. And, of course, that's a big part of what we're doing this week in Pittsburgh. We're trying to find new friends. We're trying to find folks who will join us in the chat room. Head on radionetwork.com/chatroom. We are trying to find people who will join the conversation on air, folks who will email and send their thoughts to the program. Because, you see, I recognize that people are incredibly busy, and that's one of the topics that was touched on in that story. And by the way, you will find it gratifying to note that there were a number of commenters who pointed out the fact that the godfather of liberal talk is, of course, Mike Malloy. The article itself, you'll find, gives some publicity to the Young Turks, Cenk Uygur, who has been doing doing the gig for years on end as well, as many of us have been. And one of these days, one of these articles will actually mention the horn and will actually mention in its body Mike Malloy. And it won't fall to the people who participate in the comments to supplement what is missing in the body of the article by letting people know. Because, you see, it's one thing to say that Air America lost its way. If you ask me, Air America lost its way almost from the very beginning. But it did have some early good programming. Now, I couldn't help but wonder just a little bit about Air America when they came on the air in March of 2004. And it took them until August to get Malloy on the air. I thought that was a little squirrely. But be that as it may, everybody kind of knows Air America lost its way. But the question becomes one of, so what? Whoever said that Air America was the defining idea behind progressive or liberal talk or conversation? Lucky us, we operate on the Internet, so we can throw the format clock out the window. And we can try to create something special here that doesn't exist anywhere else, and I think we've been wildly successful at it. Philosophically. And substantively in terms of what we've produced here. And you know what? I have to open the microphone and do requests for funding, but you know what? Honest to God, we've been successful there too. Nobody's making any money yet, but we're still here. Air America's been through a bankruptcy, three or four different owners. Is there even one person left on air at Air America who was there in the beginning? But Guy James is here, and I'm here. And Ben Birch and the heroic work that he has done with WhiteRoseSociety.org has never, ever, ever flagged. So you know what? We're a success in that regard, too. And I am proud that you continue to try to make it so. I'll be honest with you, very candid. We'll get through August. I don't know about September. If we get through September, I don't know about October. We get through October, I don't know about November. But whoever said it was supposed to be easy? It would be nice to have somebody to come along and say, you know, Bob, listen, everybody gets paid. And you know, and if a computer goes down, you don't have to sit and sweat how you're going to pay for the parts to fix it. And Bob, you don't ever have to open the microphone again and tell people if they want this to continue, they're going to have to pony up. That day may come. We never stop looking for those opportunities. But they haven't happened yet. But one day, all we have to do is keep doing this, and one day, that opportunity will come. And on that day, you will be the first to know, and you will be the first to celebrate. because it will be your labor of love that has brought that day. And every day between now and then that the light goes on and the shows go out, whether it's me or Guy or whether it's John Fox or whether it's the weekend programming with Rick Goodner, Rick Smith, Billy Shears and Night Sounds, or programs that have not yet been developed but may in the future. You know, that's another one of our goals, developing more programming. But you know what? When you're treading water, it's hard to think about the day when you're going to beat the field in the breaststroke. But once in a while, we do. We do. So, interesting article, and thanks for the kind comments. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brother Bob.
Brother Albert.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay.
I'll tell you what, you know, Air America doesn't exist. And, you know, it's one of those things where, I mean, to people here on the Horn, which I think a lot of people, myself included, found you via Air America. Air America is almost like the, I don't know, for an analogy or something like that, it's kind of like using petrochemical fertilizer. You know, they blew up real quick. It didn't really taste that great. It really, you know, it looked shiny and new, you know, for a week or so. And then it just kind of fell apart. And it's basically, you know, people sat there and said, wow, we don't have this petrochemicals anymore. And this is, of course, you know, in relation to our dwindling petroleum supplies. And we're going to have to do what in order to survive? Well, we're going to do what the Horn does. And what we do here is organic. Like, you know, it is tough for the people. I mean, I would imagine the people of our economic spectrum where we crawl out of, there's not a whole lot lower you're going to get, you know, until you start seeing, you know, we don't have the Air America capital. My goodness, I can't wait till I win the Powerball. When I win the Powerball, you're getting that phone call. You know, I mean, that's, I couldn't imagine, you know, I couldn't imagine not being able to do something like that, because the whole, maybe then, you know, the whole country needs to hear what's been going on in the Horn and what continues to come out of the Horn. It's vital to the survival of intellectualism. Like, you know, we talk about things here on this, you know, program and that breach topics of conversation that mainstream media isn't even coming anywhere near yet. And it's just, you know, it's almost too, It's too intellectual. It's too brainy sometimes. So maybe in a way, when the students are ready, the teachers will appear. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I would love to see, you know, some of the cream of the crop that came out of what came out of Air America. I mean, you mentioned, you know, the Young Turks. I mean, they do some pretty decent stuff every now and then. Really, you know, I really got to give that guy some credit, because he's a pit bull, you know, when it comes to things, and he's going on and on and on and spreading the positive messages that need to be spread, you know, not forgetting the issues that are, you know, vital for us to not forget, you know. And you do that same thing here, and all right, you'll see more and more people will trickle in, and those that are gravitated towards this type of stimulation will stay. And, you know, The bigger we get, the faster we go. You know, I mean,
and that's, you know, that's part and parcel, Albert. And I don't mean to cut you off, but you know how our conversations go. We have a history now, don't we? That's part and parcel of why we're doing what we're doing this week. It would be far easier for me to sit on my butt behind this microphone, and for Guy James to just stay comfortably down there in balmy Florida, and do what we do. But if we are going to develop an evolving vision of what that word that was created by the conservatives is some sort of bugaboo, some sort of bugbear, some sort of creature under the bed that was eating everything, liberal media. If we're going to define what liberal media actually are, then we have to go out and do some of it. And so, you know, what's going on this week with Netroots Nation is the single largest gathering of people who are each and every one individually and collectively trying to define what liberal media are. And so if we can be there, and if we can use the resources that we have here to get that, because what it is it's a week-long brainstorming session. And I'm not trying to diminish by any degree. In fact, I'm trying to, you know, ramp it up a little bit. That brainstorming is going to take place in every session to one degree or another, regardless of the issue being talked about. And so, you know, a while back, I had this notion, and again, it's, you know, I have 100 ideas a day, and 99 of them stink. But one, every once in a while, I'll pull a diamond from the dung, if you know what I mean.
Yes, sir.
And I think this is one of them. Because the concept that I'm working with here, and you know, can you imagine if this was right-wing radio, we'd never talk about this, Albert, because it would be secret, and we wouldn't want anybody to know about it, because it was going to be our secret, and we were all going to get fabulously filthy, freaking rich on it. But just the working idea that I have for it is something that I call a liberal, internet-based C-SPAN. Now, C-SPAN is going to show up for two or three of the events at Netroots Nation, but they're not going to be there for all of it. And they're not going to devote that kind of coverage to it. We need an entity out there, and I personally think that we're it, that can grow the infrastructure and grow the technological base to the point that we can go to these things and we can let the thing itself. I mean, I'll try to do a show somewhere along the way. I hope Guy and I do a show together somewhere along the way, because we have not succeeded in doing that yet. But the other thing is that the week-long event itself, Albert, is the story itself. And we let the story tell itself.
Absolutely, and here we go. I mean, talking about what we need to do, and people, you know, everybody who's listening and or hears this later on, you know, go to your favorite blogs. Go to them where you're not hearing about Netroots Nation at all. Go to them and explain to them what's going on and where they can find coverage of it, and just ask them if they put up a little post on it. You know, I mean, blogs like content, you know, and that's why, you know, so, oh, Michael Jackson died, that's all they all had, is because, oh, look, we all have new content kind of thing. And, I mean, they took, you know how blogs are, you know, a lot of times they just put up as much crap as they can just so people come and read their stuff, you know. So, certainly, man, ask them to put up a posting on it and explain to them where they can go and direct them, you know, to the horn. I mean, that's the only place I'm hearing about Netroots Nation. I don't know about you guys, but that's where I'm hearing it from. You know, so let's network. Let's use these tools to our advantage. You know, we don't have to be secretive, because we don't have evil intentions. Just like you made that statement. You know, this isn't about getting filthy rich. This is about saving the species. You know, screw saving the world. This is about saving the species. And if we don't start doing some rapid development really quickly on these things, you know, we're going to miss the ball. You know, we're going to miss it. If we don't run to the freaking top fly, we're going to let it drop in front of us. And what the hell good is that? You know, bases are loaded, people. You know, we need to get the ball faster. You know, Air America collapsed under its own weight. You know,
because they were operating on a dead model in the first place. Because when you assume that you can do liberal radio on a right wing model, you're trying to start out of the blocks on a sprint or even a long distance race with one shoe nailed to the pavement. Because we're not right wingers, Albert, and we don't take marching orders. We're process people.
Yeah, we're anti-authoritative, you know. I mean, it just, that's, you know, a lot of people start calling, I don't want to call right-wingers fascists anymore. I just want to call them authoritarians, because that's what they are. You know, if they're going to call us liberal and make that a curse word, let's really say what these guys are. They're bringing guns.
They bring guns to places. They bring guns to places where there aren't going to be guns. That is intimidation tactic. That's eliminationism.
Like, Bob, when I win the Powerball, I'll have a right to carry license, because I plan on dropping a big bag of cash on your door and running off, you know, knocking and running.
Yeah, just don't set it on fire before you ring the doorbell, please.
It's poop again. Anyway, I can't imagine why you would need to take a gun to the grocery store, or, you know, a bunch of places where, you know, you go.
Well, if one of them Mexican stock boys gets mouthy with me, I'll show him who's boss.
Now, I mean, like, you know, wearing cologne is one thing, you know, as a status. Now, oh, look, I smell nice, you know, I smell clean, I'm woodsy or whatever it is, you know. But then bringing a gun.
Yeah, there's an entire segment of the population that thinks smelling like cordite smells sexy.
Oh, well, you know, this is that thing, and this is just the status issue. It just boggles my mind, like, why you would think you would be able to go into a courtroom with a gun. Why would you need a gun in church? Well, I mean, a left-wing church, maybe you might need a gun in church just to defend, the pews. But, hey, sweetie. You know, but, like, why would you need to bring a gun to a town hall meeting? To where you're supposed to discuss health care? What?
Oh, I'm so glad I'm not the only one the irony ain't lost on.
This is giving me an aneurysm. Like, it just is... You guys are just freaking nuts. And you know who lit the fuse on this. Well, Bob, everybody knows who lit the fuse on this. And I'm telling you what, I hate to be the doomsayer. Yeah, well, leave her alone. Let her use her litter box. Get away from her. Raisa, come on.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing with you, not at you, brother.
The cat stopped moving. Yeah, because it's in her litter box. Anyway, leave her alone. Anyway, so I just can't really grasp where no, stop. Oh, I'm sorry. Life, you know. It is.
No, I know. It's on me like a cheap suit. Trust me.
But you know, it just boggles my mind that the way these guys are behaving, and I fear that one of them or a group of them are going to really do something really, 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 really stupid, and I don't fear for the overall outcome of it. I fear for the initial horror that it's going to be, but the overall outcome of it is, I mean, this is like getting popped for your, the fifth time you got popped for steroids, on your way this will destroy their reputation beyond all belief, because how many times can you swing at the same pitch where some crazy right-wing freak, authoritative, zombie runs into some church and shoots it, or runs into this school and shoots it, or runs into here and runs into there, and one of them, and now they're over here, what's the style? Man, these people are out there making lists of people they want to kill. I mean, like, that guy who shot up that church, that horrible jackass who did that horrible thing, he had 100 liberal, he wanted to kill hundreds and hundreds of people. But he had the whole... What's his name? That scum, that smarmy little Fox News troll that they dig out every now and then. Goldberg.
Bernie Goldberg. Yeah. The
that guy with his list of 100 people. Oh yeah, I'm going to kill everybody on this list. You don't think like Russ Feingold is probably on some crazy freaks list somewhere? And I mean, we didn't have any of that going on there, and there really was no security. I'm sure there was one guy in there with one marshal or somebody in there to protect them, but. Like, there was nothing. I mean, this is why the only reason I'm saying this is because there was nothing to stop one of these guys. It was just like a church. You open the door, you go in, you find a seat, you sit down. And that's what these meetings were like with the ones that I went to in this area. So I would imagine that it was some way or another, probably not like that anymore because there's all this fighting going on. But still, it's probably one of those things that I could have walked into that Feingold meeting with a gun. There could have been guys doing the same thing.
They were there.
I'm sure, there was about four or five of them there, but that's just scary to me, because if they do ever do something like that, they got to know they're done. Like, they got to know. Did you see that article that Susan was talking about earlier with the... about the guy, they said the union member bashed him up? There's a video of it.
Yeah, and the guy that he hit was the one on the ground.
Yeah, and the one that hurt him is the guy who was the fellow union guy who was on the ground, pushed him, like went to go get him, like, hey, stop fighting kind of thing, and they kind of barely tumbled to the ground. And then they got up, and everything went off, and he went off and got the police. And I'm sure he was really scared, because, authoritative people are really scared. It's like the Dead Kennedy song, Would You Like to Be Dictator? I mean, if you don't know the song, go check it out. I mean, that's a nice little kids in the hall punk rock music inspect this to the mind of a dictator. And that these people are dictators. They want to go in there and you're going to do this and you're going to stay away from my government. You know, you're keep your government hands off my Medicare. And I mean, these people ain't playing with full decks, Bob.
No, they ain't. No, they are anything but all home.
And I think after their tantrum, we're going to just be at that point where, hey, I told you I was going to threaten to spank you one too many times. And I don't mean that in that we're going to spank them, but I think what's going to wind up happening to the collective consciousness of their of people letting them shout them down is they're going to just be completely marginalized. And like, any kind of power they think they have is going to evaporate to the 15% level, which is what they are made up of in this country. You know, I mean, you can't be seriously. I think half the people that are watching Fox News, okay, are watching it to keep an eye on right-wingers. I mean, like, half of them are probably Media Matters, sitting there, you know, trying to get clips of these guys saying horrible things. I mean, they draw so much attention to themselves now that I can't see any more attention being drawn to them being a good thing for them. I really can't, and I don't think we need to defend ourselves any more than if one of them starts, you know, roughing you up, you're going to have might punch them in the mouth or something. But I can't see us being on the defense about this. We're right. You know, I think it might be that tactic of we're too comfortable in that fetal position with our hands over our head and, you know, screaming stop, but or mom. But I can't see that going on much longer. I mean, we're on our feet here. You know, we're the ones with the power. They're not the ones with the power. That's why they're throwing a fit.
Yeah, they lost.
Exactly. You know, so come on, people. You know, certainly let's not let them bring guns into the frickin' meetings. God, I don't understand that. I can't even understand that. That how does that make anybody? I don't know. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, kind of mind-boggling, isn't it?
It is. I'm all for having a man have guns. And if the senator comes to your house and the gun's in the house, well, hey, the gun's in the house, you know. But if he doesn't come to your house and you go to where he's at and you bring a gun, did he ask to see it? Hey, well, what do you bring a gun for? What the hell's this? Drunk driving makes more sense. I mean, I don't know. To me, anyway.
Believe me. I understand completely.
It's really sucked my brain. I mean, but not for nothing. Their implosion's getting better. That's all I can say. I mean, they're losing it more and more every moment. They are. It's just unbelievable.
But the problem is that's you've just yeah they are losing but you also touched on that sort of psychological thing where what happens to somebody as their weird little world falls to pieces. You know, we were all told, if you recall, just to use a convenient example, we were all told, Albert, that, well, you know, if we go into Iraq, and we're going to have to go into Iraq because obviously Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction, and, you know, we're sending everybody in with their spacesuits because once we get him in a corner, he'll use them. And there was some twisted logic in all of that, except for the fact that he didn't have any. Well, these same wing nuts. You know, us liberals, you know, kumbaya, my lord, kumbaya. There's the singing part of the program. It's all over now. You don't have to worry. You can turn your speakers back up. But our problem is that, you know, here we are, a bunch of peaceniks. But the other side, it's not that they've got weapons of mass destruction. They really are armed to the teeth, and we didn't, you know, the kumbaya crowd, guitars, you know, gave my love a cherry, all that crap sitting on the stairs, you know, oh, dude. We didn't push them into the corner. Nobody on our side did. We just say crazy crap like, I'd like for everybody to be able to go to the doctor when they're sick.
You horrible, horrible man.
I know, but and so we didn't push them into the corner, but the money is sitting there in great big ungodly humongous shrink-wrapped stacks in big pharma, big healthcare, insurance companies, and they are pushing their cannon fodder in the culture wars into the corner, sitting there whispering to them, shoot, shoot, shoot. And so they, you know, those guys, the conservacreeps, are dangerous because they are cornered and they do think in eliminationist terms.
Yes, sir.
Wow, Albert, I just realized I got two more blinky lights and where's the time gone?
All right, go nail them, buddy. You're absolutely right. We'll chat later.
All right, take care, Albert. Bye now. I hate to run folks off, but I do have blinking lights here. Hey, welcome to the program.
I really wish you would have kept him on a little bit longer. I was loving what he had to say. I almost hung up when you said that. This is Rick.
Hey, Rick.
I'm really impressed. I really like what went on tonight. I love to see y'all fired up.
It's hard not to be. I mean, you know, when it's obvious that they're coming for you.
I didn't think I'd ever hear Albert say, they're stupid, they're wrong, they're mad. I love it. He's been such a nice guy for so long.
But nice only goes so far.
It only goes so far. I agree. But y'all better watch it. Begin to sound a little bit like me. You better calm down a little bit. Got to have some sanity around here.
Well, you know, Mother warned me about people like you.
You know, it was kind of neat. That was, you said that we're not pushing them in the corner. I was over here, I'm doing my best.
Yeah, well, except Rick.
Except they're not listening to me.
Yeah, but you're down there in Texas, and you're keeping all the conservacreeps to yourself, and I resent it.
Oh, I do love them. I do love them. They're so much fun to play with. Look, man, I really didn't have anything to say except that, God, this is good tonight. And I know you got another guy there waiting for you. Everything's cool. I'll be there in spirit. I even tried to work out something for the weekend, but, you know, I'll be there in spirit.
I know how it goes. Believe me, I really, really do. And it would have been fun to have you there, Brother Rick, but, you know, I understand that crazy crap like work has this ugly habit of intervening.
Well, work wouldn't be the issue. It's the brother thing, so.
Well, yes.
So, anyway, hang in there. Everything's cool. If you get put in jail or anything, let me know and I'll barrel you out.
I appreciate that. That goes a real long way. Right now my big concern is being able to get the family truckster out of hock on Sunday morning.
Yeah, well, if you don't, give me a holler.
All right. Yeah, I hear the bus runs between Beckley and Pittsburgh.
Well, you know that you got the thumb. I'll show you how to use the thumb.
That's true. Yeah, and you know, I know the secret. I know the thumb secret. A buddy of mine taught this to me years ago. He said, whenever you're going out on the road and you know you're going to be thumbing, he said, you want two things. You want your best clothes. You want three things. You want your best clothes, casual, comfortable, but good. You want a nice haircut, and you want a sign that says home to mom.
Yes. Yeah, that'll get you. I'll pick up anybody that has a sign, I'm going home to mom. I mean, I'd do it. I don't care what they look like. If they're going home to mom, I'll get them there. I'll drive them all the way.
Yeah, where are you going? Other direction, but I'm taking you where you want to go.
You're going to see your mom.
Well, you know, that's because you're a Southern boy like me. You going to see mama? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we're going to get you to mama.
Well, how long you haven't seen your mama? What kind of boy are you anyway? Why didn't you get home sooner?
You been writing, boy?
Mm-hmm. Let's get you there now. Oh, one more thing. You know, more than likely some idiot got in there and did drop his gun. But think about this for one second. What good would it do the right wing to have a gun show up in one of those meetings? No one shot. No one's flashing it. It's just there.
Well, it just proves that they can be trusted with firearms.
Well, it shows one more thing. Some nut is going to come there with a gun, so don't any of you liberals show up anymore.
Right. Stay home, please.
Let's scare people into not going, and then the only ones who's talking.
Right. Because that's the only way they can win, Rick, and you know this better than I do. They cannot win in a discussion of the issues that is on anything resembling a level playing field.
I had that fun tonight with Huffington Post. We were going at it, and this one guy finally broke down and used the N-word. I mean, he couldn't come up with anything else.
As in your A?
Yeah, but not me. Another young lady who just happened to agree with one little thing, and then bang, you went all over, and it was just bad. And then I said, busted. Always knew that's what you were. Knew it when you first started talking. Guess what? You're busted. We know you for what you are. We know what your party is. We know everything now. Why did he melted?
And it is kind of fun when they go splat.
It is, and you know, it's kind of nice to be able to play with people like that. I can't do it for the people around here, not my clients.
No, because, yeah, there's that. Dadgum those ethics.
Yeah, there is that ethics thing, and you know, when they're not my client, I love playing with crazy people.
Well, sometimes it's more, without a doubt, it's more fun than playing with the sane.
Now, I certainly am not the type that would pull wings off of flies, but I don't mind kicking the feet out from under idiots.
Well, you know, that's because they kind of earn it, don't they?
Yeah, they do it, Dave. Sir, look, great show. Albert, man, I love you. I love you. Go back and listen to this, Albert. If you're listening right now, go back and listen to your presentation tonight. Go over there to Ben's little shop, get on White Rose, and listen to it. You were magnificent. I was proud of you tonight, son.
Albert never mails it in.
No, doesn't indeed. Doesn't indeed. But let me off to you and get that other person, my friend.
All right. You take care, Rick.
Okay. See ya.
We'll talk soon. Bye now.
Got it.
Horn psychotherapist and author Rick Goodner. Down there playing with the crazies that aren't his patients. And having a high old time. I know he is. He's just kind enough not to gloat. Hey, welcome to the program.
Let's end this on a funny note.
Okay, let's go funny.
Yeah, let's go funny. But before, I just want to say something, what Albert was saying about how after this, they're done. No, Albert, that's not how it works. They will break your country in half, and then they'll be done for the next 10 years. That's the problem. That's the problem we face. Trying to get progressives and liberals to understand that it's never over. It's never going to be over. Sorry, but that's the way you have to deal with this. And that's the way you have to think with this. And then you'll be prepared. And then when you know that, you'll get stronger muscles, and you'll be able to respond better. That's why we're experiencing what we're experiencing now.
I think there's validity to that, David. So you're saying that the threat is obvious and the threat is real.
What I'm saying is when I was a child, and when I was growing up, my mom would always tell me about Ronald Reagan, and my dad would always be to counterbalance it because he thought he was a good guy. But at the same time, he didn't really like the policies that were going on. But the problem is that you really have to ratchet up the warning for what perilous times our country are in right now, and the fact that we don't have that many doors to turn to, and it's getting worse by the days. I mean, if you turn on right wing radio, literally you will hear they are presented and marketed as the good radicals. It's not a joke, people. They mean it. They are now branded the good radicals. We'll be branded the bad radicals if we do any amount of outrage. That's why a lot of these meetings and these town hall meetings are a trap. And just to add one more thing before we go into something funny. You know what do you think is going to happen if they break our country in half? I'm sorry, Albert, but this is the reality. We live in this country. It's not going to be a change of consciousness. No, they're going to run to the churches. You don't think that?
Oh, they've got those primed and ready to roll.
Right, and you know who's already out, getting ready for the flock of sheep. I saw a clip of Ralph Reed commenting on the town hall meetings. So don't think it's not happening, people. They're never done. They'll ratchet them with fear
as long as there's breath and life left in them. They'll do what they do because it's all they know how to do, David. The thing, though, is to, via the avenues of appeals to reason, to common sense, and to self-interest, to reduce the number of lunatics out there. Make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And before you head on out of here, I just want to give a plug for, you were talking about Air America. And I don't think anyone's mentioned, we have to mention Mike Judge and his brilliant show, The Good Family. I don't know if you're familiar with this.
No.
Well, my judge decided to make a family sitcom again, kind of like King of the Hill, only this time he skewers the entire liberal progressive environment movement. And oh my God, Bob, you want to talk about brilliant? There was one episode called Public Disturbance, and it's about public radio. And the father learns a valuable lesson about how to do fundraising. And there's one part in it, there's one line in it, he goes like, it seems to me the executive, Ian, doesn't really care about community, and he runs the radio station like a casino. I mean, there's just tons of one-liners all over the place. I mean, Mike Judge is the king, people. Good family. Oh, and another thing, another funny thing about this liberal satire is they adopt a baby from Africa. You know, people go crazy about this. They don't want to adopt a kid from Chicago, so they adopt a kid from Africa. Well, they got disappointed because it turned out to be a white child from South Africa, but they had to keep it, so they named it Ubuntu.
Ubuntu.
Only Mike Judge. So, yeah, I just wanted to mention, if people haven't checked out The Good Family, you should check out The Good Family and watch the episode I'm talking about, Public Disturbance. And, Bob, I hope you have a great time, and you learn a lot of stuff and kickstart and generate a lot of conversations and dialogue, and let's just keep it moving, and let's just keep aware of the times we're living in. And we got to plan strategic because, like I said, there is no done ever, ever, ever.
Anytime we think we're done, we know that, as our good buddy Wayne has said many times, Republicans don't take off years.
Right. Get back into the gym, people. It's not done. Training's never over till you're in the casket.
Well said. Well said, David. Thank you very kindly, and I look forward to our next conversation.
You too, sir. Later.
All right. Bye now. Pop culture correspondent David calling from Maine, and he's right. Anytime you rest on those laurels, the laurels will rot under your ass. They will. They really, really will. So the next time we speak, I'll be in Pittsburgh. I'm guessing that's not going to be tomorrow night now that I've got a better handle on when I'm going to be leaving. But I will try everything in my power to make a show happen Wednesday night. Maybe we can bring in a special brother deacon guy for a show Wednesday evening. That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? But we will crank it up, sure enough, as live as the day is long come Thursday morning. And I'm so psyched and I'm so excited about this that I can hardly stand myself. And tell your friends, tell your neighbors. Let everybody know that it is possible to be at Netroots Nation without being at Netroots Nation. Because we will make it as immediate and real as we possibly can for you. But we can't do it if you're not there. So that's the program for tonight. Thank you for all your participation in all their myriad forms. And I look forward to hearing from you. Even if the phones aren't cooking, you will be able to participate by the chat room. Head on radionetwork.com/chatroom. And always, of course, by email. bobkincaid@gmail.com. Thank you to Peter Godbold. You know, there was something in the chat room a few minutes ago, people talking about how they found the horn. And our pal Lottie, one of the moderators in the chat room, said, I found the horn through Tom Hartman's chat room. And I am remiss in not thanking Tom early on and mentioning that early on it was Tom who allowed listeners to the horn to use that chat room as a meeting place. And so much of the Horn family did find the Horn via Tom's chat room, and we will be eternally grateful for it. And Peter Godbold, who is our IT professional, who is still recovering from a serious illness, he's the one who made contact and said and asked if it would be okay, if I recall correctly, that Horn listeners use Tom's chat room in the off hours. And this goes all the way back to Beckley. This is the kind of dedication that has gone into this. And Peter went on to become the person I tormented when computers didn't behave. And John Fox, of course, also, I believe, via he and Bruce Birch via Fourth Estate Radio through Tom's chat room. Ben Birch, of course, is just a god of liberal talk. There's little more that can be said. WhiteRoseSociety.org. And every one of these individuals will be involved in some way or another, directly or indirectly, when we're in Pittsburgh. Thanks always go out to Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ColeRiverWind.org, the hardest working, bravest people I know. And for all the reasons that are so frequently mentioned, you know why. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
With America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Ooh-wee, what a Monday! Very, very busy Monday. Busy weekend. We are at present still in the planning stages and the packing stages and the carrying stages of what will be the most ambitious project the Horn has yet undertaken. I'm talking, of course, about Netroots Nation, beginning on Thursday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and running through Sunday morning. Thanks to you all and many others, I am one of the Democracy for America Netroots Nation Scholars. And it is an inspiring and eclectic mix of folks from all across the country. Being, however, that I think I'm the only broadcaster doing that as such, we're going to be bringing you everything that Netroots Nation has to offer over a series of live streams. Every room will be wired and mic'd. Every panel will be brought to you. And there's going to be no small amount of tremendous coverage, among other things. Oh, let's see. Fresh from his success in North Korea, former President Bill Clinton will be there, among other things. There is probably the political showdown of the year thus far, of the coming political season, will take place there, as well as Senator Arlen Specter, the corporate America, the sorta of Pennsylvania, debates and discusses the issues with Representative Joe Sestak the hope he wins. Hey, look, you know, I don't have time for, we're non-partner. No, I want somebody, and please, anybody who thinks Arlen Specter has a liberal bone in his body, needs his head thoroughly examined and RMA'd to the manufacturer for rewiring. I would like to see Joe Sestak win this. I've talked off the air, however, with a couple of people who know their Pennsylvania politics, who tell me that it'll be tough to get the Democratic machinery in place to support Joe Sestak. So those things are going to take place on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. There will be a panel on mountaintop removal, which I look forward to participating in. I'll be joined by Lorella Scarborough, American Book Award winner Jeff Biggers, and friend of the program, Stephanie Pistello from Appalachian Voices and the Alliance for Appalachia will also be there. This should be a tremendous panel. Exposing, I hope, a lot of new folks to the issue of America's ongoing national shame, and that is mountaintop removal. So that's kind of where my focus has been. Just to be completely fair. It has been a very busy Monday in and of itself, because no matter the fact that we are planning for all of this, real life, as it is called, it continues unabated, and waits for no person. Today was the beginning of football practice and cheerleading practice. So that means that Ferg was knocking on the bedroom door. Can you hear the yawn trying to get started? Sorry. At about 6 o'clock this morning, after I'd had about 3 hours of sleep. So I've kind of got toothpicks holding my eyelids open, just sort of, you know, this is one of those moments I'm glad we don't do video, because I'm just not pretty right now. But today we had to go and get physicals, because they are required. Had to go get physicals for Ferg and Doodle. And you learn a little bit when you do those kinds of things. I was just having a conversation with their physician's assistant. A good guy. But one with whom I do not share a political philosophy. And we were talking about some topic or another, and he said, well, you know, because my kids have chip coverage, for which I am very, very grateful. Glad that we at least have that much. And add that to the list of government health care that we don't want in America. You know, we've focused on things like the VA and Medicare, but add in chip coverage. I heard horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner talking about that over the weekend, and I thought I would just love to be a fly on the wall when he offers one of those wing nuts, that little affidavit to sign, giving up all government health care. And, you know, as I was listening, I remarked on this last night in the chat room. I don't know, like so many other members of the horn, I've never met personally Rick Goodner, horn psychotherapist, author. Bon vivant, man about town. But there were a couple of moments where he was doing his redneck voice, and it gave me pause to wonder, is Rick Goodner actually the voice of Hank Hill? Because there were a couple of moments when he was talking about the rednecks as he at the the conserva creeps, as he hands them their affidavit to sign. I don't want no government health care. And it sounded, that voice that Rick was doing, and maybe it's just because this is some sort of native voice that happens in Tejas. Maybe that's what it is, but it sounded like Hank Hill.